to oversight, we have interacted and engaged with the department, and towards the end of last year, we started the process of engaging with the national structures who represent cooperatives in South Africa. We've been to study TOL. We've done our own research. We know what is happening in other countries. We are guided by the Cooperative Development Act in terms of how the cooperatives should be structured in South Africa. And when we invited the national bodies, we wanted to have a common understanding of how cooperatives are structured, and also to get an understanding of what these national structures are doing in structures below them. Do they see what we are seeing? Because if there is 88% failure rate, and we as a portfolio committee have been out there and came across something that we do not, the country would not be proud of, do the national structures share the same view or not? And what are they proposing should be done to address that situation? So today, we've invited them because when they came last time, they focused more on themselves. And when they left, we requested them to submit within 2 weeks after that meeting a report that would tell us what is happening below them. If they are tertiary cooperatives, they should be able to tell us what is the situation at the secondary cooperative level and what is the situation at the primary cooperative level, so that we can then get an understanding of why we are having this 88% failure rate. Are we seeing the same problems or not? And then, if we have such a situation, how are we going to respond to it? In many of the meetings, I always say that if it was a hospital with 100 patients and 88% of them die, a commission would have been established in South Africa to try and find out and put the minister in charge on the spot and put the CEO of that hospital on the spot, all the doctors, all the nurses, to actually explain why out of 100, 88% patients are dying. In South Africa, we have had this report from 2009. There's 88% failure rate, and things proceed as business as usual. In Marikana, not all the workers who were striking were killed. We had a commission. In Life Esidimeni, not all the patients who were transferred to those institutions that could not provide them with adequate services, not all of them were died. We had a commission. In South Africa, government is pouring money, resources. Government has got a program to develop cooperatives. That money disappears before it gets to the people it is designed to uplift The same is happening with the SMMEs. We go out, we don't see vibrant SMMEs, but government is spending billions. And nothing is happening. So, because there are national structures for small businesses, there is a Small Business Institute. It has had colloquiums, it has invited us, it has pointed out at the issues that need to be corrected. We've interacted with NAFCOC, we've interacted with a number of those bodies that are representing small businesses. The same here. We've gone out, we've seen the cooperatives on the ground, we've interacted with the officials, we've called the national bodies. And all that we are trying to do, can we have a common understanding of the nature of the problem so that we can then come up with solutions that are going to address that problem? So when we invited the national bodies here, we are not inviting them to fight with them. We are inviting them to actually tell us how they see the situation and what role do they play. Are they happy with this 88% failure rate or not? Then we have, as the third item, a briefing on the progress with the National Cooperatives Summit by the Department of Small Business in one of the meetings of the Portfolio Committee. A resolution was taken. In actual fact, on that day, I wasn't even sharing the meeting. I was presenting in the meeting. The person who was sharing was Honorable Kapp. Before he could open for comments, he said, "I'm worried because there are only 6 members in this meeting, members of Parliament, who are getting this type of information." On that day, we were actually discussing the cooperatives-based community economic development that I developed. And we were looking at that against what we had seen in Mondragon. And the view of the members was saying, this information needs not only the members of this portfolio committee to understand. It needs to be understood by 400 members in the National Assembly, all members in the NCOP, all members in the legislature, and everybody in local government for South Africa to get it right. That is what Honorable Kapa said. After the discussion, a proposal was made by one of the members, Honorable Mwabe. He said, we need a national summit on cooperatives. On the following day, there was a meeting. I was invited by the Multi-Party Women's Caucus in Parliament to make a presentation. The same decision was taken. Although theirs was slightly, they were saying, this information needs to be understood. We need a women's national summit on cooperatives. Now, government doesn't have enormous resources. If the idea is for a national summit coming from the Multi-Party Women's Caucus, and the Portfolio Committee also is seeing that as a possible solution, you can't have 2 summits in the country discussing one issue. It means people see that there is a need for a national summit. And the reason for the women's, the Multi-Party Women's Caucus to take that line of women's summit, it's because they are speaking from that perspective. They are a committee of women. But the issue affecting cooperatives in South Africa doesn't only affect women cooperatives. It affects the economy in the country. Which then means we should all be working towards having a national summit on cooperatives so that we can get it right. So the department then, charged with the responsibility of developing cooperatives, when they hear that, they should then start working to say, how do we take that into consideration and prepare for such a national summit to take place in the country? Item number four is briefing on blended funding model aligned to cooperative funding by Cooperative Development Bank Agency. The reason for that is that what we have seen as the portfolio committee is that the funding for cooperatives doesn't speak to the felt needs of cooperatives in this country. Which then means that we first need to understand the felt needs of cooperatives and then design a model of the country, a master plan of the country that speaks to the needs of the cooperatives, and then design a funding model that speaks to that master plan of the country. It can't be a funding model with guidelines that are developed by the officials in a particular department and then say this funding model and these guidelines, cooperatives must then relate to the guidelines. It doesn't happen that way. The funding model should be a response to the needs of the cooperatives. It can't be a funding model than the cooperatives which need to respond to. Then the last one is a briefing on progress with the forensic investigation report by Auditor General of South Africa. This came about as an observation made by the Portfolio Committee during oversight to say, we are smelling the rat here. We think there is something very, very wrong. There is 88% failure rate. There is misaligned funding models. We don't know what is happening in terms of secondary cooperatives, what value are they adding to develop primary cooperatives. We don't know what the tertiary cooperatives are doing. There is no implementation of the provisions of the Cooperative Act in terms of establishing the Cooperative Development Agency, establishing the Cooperative Tribunal, establishing the Cooperative Training Academy. But what was more alarming to members of the Portfolio Committee during oversight was when we would pick up funded businesses and cooperatives randomly as a portfolio committee, not asking the department to tell us where to go. We picked them up. And we arrive at a site where an application was processed and the goods were supposed to have been delivered. And we find a situation where there are only 5 members. The, out of the 5 members who were registered as owners of the cooperative, there are only 2 who are still alive. 3 of them died. And they were not replaced. But the department was able to process and approve that application. And that money also doesn't go, according to the funding model, doesn't go direct to the applicant. It goes to the service provider. And the remaining 2 members would say, no, we don't know the service provider. And we have not seen those goods. In other situations, we would find a situation where a loan application was made to CIFA in the name of the cooperative, meaning it's the cooperative that is liable. But the funds are not given to the cooperative, they are given to the service provider. And the service provider controls this money, buys the goods for them, collects the finished goods from the chickens, collects the chickens from the members of the cooperative to the abattoir. But the money doesn't come back to the cooperative, yet the cooperative is sitting with a debt. It's not only the cooperative. Some small businesses that we met with, most of them would cry when they are relating their stories to us. And based on that, we said we don't have the capacity as a portfolio committee to do a forensic investigation. And we resolved in this meeting that we are going to ask the Office of the Auditor General to assist the Portfolio Committee and do a forensic audit because we are smelling a rat. During that process, what was then concluded was that the department is also has also asked the Office of the Auditor General to assist with the forensic audit. Therefore, the Office of the Auditor General cannot be appointed by the Portfolio Committee and also by the department to investigate the same issue. Because the department in any way and any structure in South Africa and any individual would report to Parliament, because a portfolio committee is empowered to call any person to come and present information that the portfolio committee wants. Therefore, the portfolio committee should wait for the report that will come from the Office of the Auditor General. An investigation that would have been initiated by the department, because the portfolio committee has said there is something wrong. And then the portfolio committee would then invite the Office of the Auditor General and also the department to say, come and tell us what you are doing. What we have not seen from the Office of the Auditor General are the terms of reference that were given to the office by the Department of Small Business. Also, we have not seen a project management plan for that work to be done. When will the investigation start? How will it be conducted? When will it be finished? And because it is the end of the term, and we want to put this in our legacy report, we have then invited the Office of the Auditor General to come and tell us what were the terms of reference, what is the project management plan, when is this work going to be finished, what progress has been made, how will the report be processed from the Auditor General's office, where will it go to, and how the Sixth Parliament Portfolio Committee should take the process forward so that we can have a legacy report that is very, very clear in terms of moving forward with this matter. Now, the challenges that we have today are the following, which are going to also inform what item we are going to start with. In terms of the Auditor General's office, they responded and said that the report was not ready. It is still a draft report. And they presented that report to the minister to for the minister and the accounting officer to respond to, and then they will produce the final report. And in their view, because that process has not been concluded, they felt that they were not going to come and present the report. I responded and said, we would still want the Office of the Auditor General to come, because the letter says, we don't know your terms of reference. Come and tell us. We don't know the plan that you are implementing. We don't know the progress that you have made. You still have to come and tell us all those things. And also share with us, if there is already a draft report, it means that you are towards the conclusion of your work, meaning that you can share those findings with us as a draft in an in-committee meeting. In an in-committee meeting, where there will be no journalists, there will be no other person, it will only be the members of the Portfolio Committee with the Office of the Auditor General. The Office of the Auditor General is represented in this meeting, and they have asked that they be the first on the agenda so that they can then be excused after presenting what they have to present to us, because she's going to explain what the Office of the Auditor General is busy doing. But I felt that also they are showing respect to this portfolio committee by coming, so that we can be in a position of having a common understanding about this issue. Because if one takes into consideration what the president, the state president, committed to get rid of corruption in the country, clean South Africa, and make the image of South Africa not to be that of a corrupt country. That is what the president has committed to. It then means that this portfolio committee has then got a responsibility to say, if they think that there is corruption somewhere, they also have to be clear of how to deal with that. Then we will start with the briefing by the Office of the Auditor General, and then we will change our presentation. We will go back to our agenda as it is on the agenda after the briefing by the Office of the Auditor General. On the briefing on blended funding model by the Cooperative Bank Development Agency, they also apologized and said that it would be a waste of resources if they were to fly all the way from where they are to just come and tell us that this is not there. What we are asking for is not there. I then felt that because they are not saying it's work in progress, they say it is not there, I can then put this across to the portfolio committee to say, they said it's not there, they can start working on it. And then we will put that as part of our legacy report so that the Sixth Parliament Portfolio Committee would then look at that as a follow-up. So can I then go back to item number 2 to take the apologies? Honorable Mabe, followed by Honorable Park. Honorable Begwa.
No, Chair, can wait. I was moving to adopt the amended agenda for records.
We are on apologies. Honorable Club.
Thanks, Chair. I second the agenda as well as adopted. But however, Chair, I request to make an apology because we are still busy with the SABC board interview, so I won't be able to be in the meeting for the rest of the day. Thanks. Okay.
Thanks, Chair. Greeting to members and the department. Now, Chair, I would like to be excused at 12 o'clock to join the Committee of Tourism. I might be come back if this meeting is not finished. Thank you, sir.
Is there any other apologies, Committee Secretary?
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members and colleagues. I received an apology for Honorable Kwongo, who indicated that he's in Venezuela, and then Honorable Mishwe, and then I also received an apology from the Minister's Office, and also received an apology from NACFISA. So they said they could not come because of logistics challenges. So those are the apologies that I received. Thank you. Yeah, both the Minister and the Deputy Minister.
Thank you. Can we then move to the Office of the Auditor General?
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, members. I am Makupui Griffiths. I am the Parliamentary Liaison Officer on behalf of the Auditor General based here in Cape Town. We received an invitation from the committee for us to come and brief the committee on the progress of the forensic investigation that we undertook. And we responded in writing to the committee Yesterday we provided that letter that detailed a progress report that was requested by the committee. I'm here to convey apologies on behalf of the auditors. As members would know that our recently approved PAA Amendment Act is underway for implementation from the 1st of April. The organization is running an intense in-house training to equip the auditors for implementation, and that is one of the reasons why we could not honor the invite. So I am just here to convey that apology, Chair, and to also emphasize that it remains our mandate to support the committee with whatever request that the committee has in order for you to be able to execute your oversight work. And again, we sincerely apologize that our auditors could not come. However, maybe I will just zoom into the letter on page 2. On page 2, in trying to address the progress of the investigation, we highlight that the investigation fieldwork was executed during the period April 2018 until February 2019. The fieldwork consisted, amongst others, of the following procedures. We analyzed beneficiary payments from during financial year 2015-16 and financial year 2016-17 period in order to identify the transactions for further testing. 155 grant applications were selected. 1.2, we compared the grant applications and claims to the prescriptions per program guidelines and standard operating procedure to identify non-compliance or possible irregularities. 1.3, based on the results of the above procedure, we initially selected 10 applications to perform site visits. However, due to the results of the 30 site visits performed, we agreed with the previous DG to extend the sample for site visit to 60. We also performed additional procedures in an attempt to contact grant applicants and verify existence of goods purchased. So, Chair, in terms of how far the process is, a draft management report listing the findings has been compiled and issued to the accounting officer. This was done on the 22nd of February in the current year and discussed with the accounting officer and executive authority on the 28th of February. The Auditor General himself, the AG, met with the Minister on the 28th of February. And on request of Minister Zulu, it has been agreed that the department management has until 31st of March 2019 to provide responses on our findings and recommendations. And that is how far we are in the process, Chair. I hope that will be satisfactory to the committee. Thank you, Chair.
Yes.
Can we then engage with the report system?
Thank you, Chair. I will take all the questions on behalf of the and the auditors, and I will convey the members' concerns to the auditors. Thank you.
Can you switch off your mic then? Thank you. Okay, Honorable Chan, followed by Honorable Molawudwe. Any other here? Okay, Honorable Chan.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thanks to the representative. I didn't catch your name, ma'am.
Makopoe Griffith.
Makopoe
yes,
Griffith.
Yes,
okay.
Thank you.
Okay, my first comment, Chair, is I wish this committee had been more insistent on commissioning the report itself from the Auditor General rather than allowing the department to take the initiative. And it's quite like, well, it's obvious now that the committee is not going to see this report, which is a big problem. And it's obviously clear that the department has been dragging its feet, and the minister, for understandable reasons from her perspective, is quite keen for this report not to emerge before the election. I can't believe that the IT department, the IT systems of the department were offline for a month. I mean, that's extraordinary, and I'd like the acting DG to please comment on how that is possible and what was the impact of that downtime on the functioning of the department as a whole, not just the aspects that were covered by this report. So I think my basically we're not being told anything apart from the sample size and a few methodological processes, but actually the content is still, as they would say, sub judice. But I want to just say, Chairperson, that the committee must insist that the report be tabled before the end of this Parliament. Although Parliament is officially rising on the 20th of March, we still have jurisdiction. We still are functioning as a Parliament until the day before the election. And I think it's absolutely vital that this committee has the opportunity to read the full report, and we must ask the Minister in the sternest terms to fulfill the obligations that she has to the committee and to the country and to all the poor beneficiaries of these supposed grants that have been compromised by the corruption that is evident in the department, that this report be tabled before the end of the Parliament. Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you, Chairperson. I will just add what Honorable Chan has said. If I heard her clearly, she's telling us about the audit report outcomes for 2016-17. If so, I would like to know about the 2017-2018 one also. Can we be privileged, because we don't have this document before us, be told the findings which they gave the minister to respond on before the 31st of March at their presentation? Which are those findings? Because this portfolio committee which picked up the suspected corrupt activity out of our oversight. And if you still remember, Chair, is this committee again which extend its hands that to involve the Auditor General to audit what is happening to the department, when we suspected there are so many things which is not going in a good way? Then we can't be underprivileged not to get the findings, so that we must know before the close of this Parliament, fifth Parliament, maybe what we requested to be investigated, or what can we do to put it in the legacy report. So I would like maybe
the presenter to maybe privilege us by giving us the information which are the critical findings which are burning, if they are there. If there's nothing, there's nothing. She must just say so. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honourable Mother.
Thank you very much, Comrade Chairperson. I'm also seconding the proposals from both Honourable Chance and Honourable Mulaudzi. And also stressing how crucial it is that as a portfolio committee we are able to receive the report and process it to prepare it for the next team that will be coming in after elections. It's very critical, because if that doesn't happen, it will mean the report will have been wasted in as far as oversight is concerned. Thanks, Comrade Chair.
I also want to weigh in here. You see, there is a perception out there that there is a corrupt political party in South Africa. And that corrupt political party is the African National Congress, which I represent here. And that perception has actually been fed into people to such an extent that there are parties who are campaigning, telling people of South Africa that the ANC government is corrupt. It should be taken out of power. And there are other political parties that would be an alternative government to the ANC in South Africa. And that is a serious matter. It's a very serious matter. Parliament is a political battlefield. I'm sitting here, I'm representing the African National Congress. I'm a member of the National Executive Committee of the African National Congress. I've been serving there for the past 11 years. This is my 12th year. Not a single day did the African National Congress, in all its policy conferences, resolve that we should use corruption and rob the voters of their text. Not a single day did the ANC take that resolution. If there are elements within the structures of government of the African National Congress, it doesn't mean that it is the African National Congress that is corrupt. It's the elements. When this portfolio committee resolved that it's going to ask the Office of the Auditor General to assist the portfolio committee to conduct a forensic investigation as part of oversight role of the portfolio committee to see what is happening in the department, what is happening in CIFA, what is happening in CIDA, what is happening in other departments who are actually saying they have these programs for development of SMMEs, they have these programs for development of cooperatives, but when we go on the ground, we don't find any results. It was a conscious decision and it was a political decision. And the African National Congress study group in this portfolio committee pushed for that. Because the African National Congress study group in this committee doesn't know of any policy of the African National Congress which says government officials should be corrupt, government officials together with service providers should defraud government. I remember in one of the oversights, I laughed when I overheard Honorable Chance speaking to Honorable Kruger when we had actually identified what we suspect as fraud. Honorable Chance, as we were walking, said to Honorable Kruger, I wonder what the ANC study group will contribute, what will be the contribution of the ANC study group on the oversight report. I responded and laughed and said, wait and see. And my assumption was that the expectation from Honorable Chance was that the ANC study group here was going to defend corruption as if it is a policy of the African National Congress. And in all the work that we have done, we have actually indicated that the ANC as a political party is not corrupt. And the ANC as a political party is committed to uproot corruption so that South Africa, when it is under the ANC rule, cannot be seen as a corrupt country. So I don't agree with Honorable Chance when he says, I wish the committee had been more insistent in having the appointment of the Auditor General residing with the Portfolio Committee to assist the Portfolio Committee to do its oversight. We did what we could. We went to Parliament and we asked the House Chairperson responsible for committees agreed. His response was, you are correct. That changed when the department also initiated the same and approached the Office of the Auditor General to investigate the same. I also want to go back to memory lane. When we suspected corruption in CIFA, the recommendation was, we suspect there is corruption here. Do your internal investigation and come back to us. Within a month, CIFA was back, having conducted its internal investigation. The same recommendation was made to the department. All departments have got internal audit committees, which means the department, the accounting officer should have identified this long before the committee identified it. And also the accounting officer should have instituted an internal investigation long before the portfolio committee said, we want to ask Parliament to agree and give us permission to appoint the Office of the Auditor General to assist us in doing our own oversight work. So, You are correct, Honorable Chan. Parliament should have allowed the Portfolio Committee to conduct its oversight and tell the department that you are usurping the powers of the Portfolio Committee. It's the Portfolio Committee that said it wants to be assisted by the Office of the Auditor General. The second issue that Honorable Charles is raising is the timing of when the report would be ready. The process will be concluded on the 31st of March. Parliament rises on the 20th of March. But I want to indicate in this meeting is that that doesn't mean that a portfolio committee cannot continue to do its work even after Parliament has risen. Because according to work of portfolio committees, we will work until the day of the election. Meaning that we can still resolve in this meeting that we apply to the speaker to have special meetings to deal with this important report. It is an important report. It is part of what the ANC has committed to do, uproot corruption. It is part of what the president has committed to do in this country, to uproot corruption. So we can't leave that hanging. Honorable Mlaudze is talking about what is being presented to us is progress. I agree with him. We are being presented with progress. We are not being told what the findings are. And we would then want to get the findings. Honorable Mabasa is also emphasizing what other members have said. Now, I am taking this back to the members to say, in view of this, that we all say we want to see this report, we want to process this report, how are we concluding in this meeting? Are we saying it's okay, we will leave on the 20th, and then the Office of the Auditor General will present and they finalize the report on the 31st, and it's okay? Honorable Bebo.
No, thanks, Chair. I just want to get the clarity from the AG. From my understanding, the report was saying, according to the AG, everything is done on our side. It's only the minister that is requested the 31st. If that is true, I'm covered with that. But I just want to come back to what you have raised, Madam Chair. I want to agree with you. This report is very important to us. And we are the one that, when we were doing oversight, we identified all these things and we said, please, AG, assist us on this matter. So I just want to agree with you. Let's deal with the report up until the day of the election. Thank you very much.
Any other? Honorable Chan?
Yes, I agree with Honorable Bekwa and you, Chair. I think it is essential that we do that, but that requires us to make it quite clear to the minister that she has to uphold that deadline of the 31st of March, and that the Auditor General's report then must be completed within a week of that consultation, which means mid-April at the latest we should have the opportunity to reconvene and consider this report.
Honorable Tembo.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think we will be available, Chairperson, as the suggestion I'm also seconding, because it's not about us. It's about the commitment that we made to the people of South Africa. So in ensuring that indeed what we have promised to them as members of the portfolio committee, that indeed we will do an oversight, we will ensure that justice is done to them and things will be corrected. So we will be there until the day before maybe the elections, you know, in ensuring that this report is dealt with, it comes out, and it also correct what the notion that is out there, that the ruling party is a corrupt political party, you know, that it's not, we are not corrupt, but there are elements indeed, as you have said in your remark. Thank you.
Any other contribution? Okay. We are closing this matter with this understanding that we will afford the Office of the Auditor General and the Minister to go through the report and meet the deadline of the 31st. We will afford the Office of the General a week after the 31st of April to produce a final report. We will ask Parliament, the Speaker, to afford us an opportunity to meet as this portfolio committee in April to process that report and make recommendations of what needs to be done to correct the situation from the perspective of a portfolio committee in charge with oversight over the department and its entities. That is how we are concluding this matter. Thank you very much. I will write a letter to the Office of the Auditor General specifying that, and also a letter will come from my office to the department, alerting both the accounting officer and the minister that this is how we concluded on this matter. Thank you very much. You are released.
Thank you, Chair. I have captured all the concerns of the members, and I will convey that to our auditors. Thank you for the opportunity.
We can then move to the second item.
Thank you, Chairperson. Morning, honorable members. Morning, colleagues. This being the first consideration, in fact, it's not even a consideration, it's just the tabling of the report. I don't think there is much that one would want to discuss, except to say that the report is prescriptive. It's in a template format that has been provided by Parliament. It covers the issues that each portfolio committee went through during the fifth Parliament. It also proposes the issues that the sixth Parliament should consider going forward. I will quickly go through the report just to highlight the key topics on the report. The first page, there is an executive summary which basically look at the sections within the Constitution that founded the Parliament, in particular Section 55, Clause 2, which provides for Parliament and its committees to have oversight over the executive and any state organs. It goes further on page 2. It looks at the reflection on committee program per year and on whether the objectives of such programs were achieved. We're basically looking at how the portfolio committee has performed over the period of 5 years. Particular topics are the committee program, the 2014 committee program, what were the areas that the portfolio committee discussed, or what sort of oversight did the portfolio committee played over the department? What were the strategic documents that the portfolio committee developed for itself? For instance, there was a strategic plan with 30 strategic objectives that were developed by the portfolio committee. For 2015, for instance, there were various oversights to KwaZulu-Natal, Eastern Cape and Gauteng provinces, where the portfolio committee got an opportunity to interact with the small business segment and role players in these respective provinces. The department also presented the strategic plan, which was adopted by the committee, pending, among others, the approval by the Department of Public Service Administration. In 2016, for instance, the portfolio committee developed its own strategic plan, as indicated earlier, which consisted of 30 strategic objectives. Areas of spillover from the fourth parliament, most of them under the DTI and EDD, were actually integrated or incorporated into the program of the fifth parliament. In 2018, for instance, the committee interacted with a number of small enterprises concerning the behavior of the big business in what the committee dubbed or called the bullying. Most of these interactions really was to inform the portfolio committee posture in terms of coming up with the legislation to deal with them, with this bullying. Section 2, also under executive summary, its committee's focus areas during the fifth parliament, which is basically a summation of what I've indicated in the past. What were the key areas that the portfolio committee dealt with during the fifth parliament? Then number 3 is key areas for future work. This is for the sixth parliament now. What we're doing here, we also detailed some of the work that the department was supposed to have accomplished during the fifth parliament. For instance, the National Small Enterprise Bill, which was not concluded, the review or finalization of the licensing bill to replace the Business Act, the introduction of the integrated strategy on the development and promotion of cooperatives, the integrated strategy on the promotion of entrepreneurship and small enterprises. These are some of the areas that the Department of Small Business Development could not accomplish during the fifth parliament. Key challenges emerging. What we're saying here is that the department operated fairly well, but there were issues, for instance, with regards to the strategic plans of the Department of Small Business Development. The portfolio committee received at the most 3 strategic plans. There was also an issue with regards to the latest strategic plan, which was approved without a proper consultation with the Department of Public Service Administration, including, for instance, the organizational structure, which had not been approved at the time of the presentation to the Portfolio Committee. So this is one issue that we are flagging at the Portfolio Committee. Then under introduction, we basically looking at the department. What are the basic or the act that founded the department, the policy, the National Development Plan, and the specific chapters within the National Development Plan that the department must look into when implementing its mandate. We also look at the policies, the 9-point plan, the 30% procurement, sector transformation charters, which are basically the guiding frameworks which must inform the work of the department. We also look at the entities, the Small Enterprise Development Agency, the act that founded the CEDA, and also the significance of the Public Finance Management Act. We also look at the CIFA, how CIFA was funded in April 2012, its role and its relationship with the medium-term strategic framework, the National Development Plan, and the strategic plan of the department and APP of the department. Then we look at the functions of the portfolio committee, in particular the act again within the constitution that should guide the activities of the portfolio committee. 1.3, we're looking at the method of work of the committee to say initially committee meetings, for instance, were predominantly held on Tuesday, but this was later changed to Wednesday in order to accommodate members who had more than one committee sitting the same day. This is an ongoing issue despite our meetings taking place on Wednesday. And then we are proposing that perhaps during the sixth parliament, it's one issue that the parliament will have to look into. 1 point, the purpose of the report, the overarching objective of this report is to provide an account of the Portfolio Committee on Small Business Development work during the fifth parliament and to inform the members of the new parliament of key outstanding issues pertaining to the oversight and legislative program of the Department of Small Business Development and its entities. Number two, under key statistics, there is a table there which committee secretary helped to develop in terms of the meetings held. For instance, in 2014 there were 15, in 2015 there were 34, 2016 31, 2017 28 meetings, and in 2018 there were 32 meetings. At the time of drafting the report, there were 140 meetings. The legislation processed from 2014 to 2016 there was nothing. Then during 2017 we discussed, we processed the Red Tape Impact Assessment Bill, and during 2018 we discussed, the Portfolio Committee discussed the enterprise, the Small Enterprise Ombudsman Bill. Yeah. So only two that were processed during the fifth parliament. Oversight trips undertaken, in 2014 there was one, 2015 one, 2016 two, 2017 three, and in 2018 none. In total, you have a total of seven oversight trips that were not taken. Study tours, it's only one, that was in Spain, in Basque Country, and in Mondragon. International agreements, none. Statutory appointments made, none. Interventions considered, none. Petitions considered, none. Stakeholders, number three, none. Then under four, on briefings, here we make an observation regarding the oversight visit to Mpumalanga in 2017, where the committee made specific requests to the Speaker of the National Assembly, Honorable Mbete, to approve the PC request to commission the Office of the Auditor General to look into alleged violations of the PFMA and other related statutes regarding contracts, engagements, and payments of service providers, including but not limited to financial transgressions and governance weaknesses. This is what the Portfolio Committee discovered during its oversight to Mpumalanga. Subsequently, the department acquired the services of the AG to conduct forensic investigation. At the time of finalizing the legacy report, the investigation had not been concluded. Therefore, this becomes the responsibility of the sixth parliament to ensure that the investigation is successfully concluded and those responsible are held to account. Surely with the resolution or the resolve that the portfolio committee has taken in this meeting, this is likely to change. In terms of the legislation, it's a repetition of what we have indicated in the above. There were two private members' bills referred to the committee for consideration. However, the committee did not approve both bills and therefore no public consultations were held. As per strategic plan of the department 2014-2019, the committee was at the most anticipating the following two pieces of legislation to be tabled during the fifth parliament. One, that was the National Small Enterprise Act, or a complete new bill, and also the finalization of the licensing bill to replace the Business Act of 1991, prompted really by what we call the xenophobic attacks against foreign nationals. So again, there it's just a table of what we did in 2015, 2016. Then I've already indicated that during 2016-2017 financial year, there was a red tape impact assessment bill. Then 2017-2018, there was nothing. 2018-19, we looked at the Small Enterprise Service Ombuds Bill. Then on point six, oversight trips undertaken. It's basically a summation again of what I've indicated in the past, but in a much more detailed format here, we look at the date, when did the oversight trip took place, the areas visited or the provinces, what was the objective of the oversight, what were the recommendations of the portfolio committee, what are the responses from the department, responses to recommendations. Again, honorable members, I must indicate that here we actually developed a tracking tool which has unfortunately not been followed to by the department. As a result, the responses to recommendations are very, very lacking. And then what are the follow-up issues? Then lastly, it's the status of the oversight report. Here, I did not include all the recommendations, but I just picked up those that are significant, for inclusion in this part of the report. Then we go to number seven, which is on page 2023. It's regarding the study tour visit that the portfolio committee undertook to Spain. Again, it follows almost a similar format as oversight visits. It looks at the dates, it looks at the places visited in Spain, it looks at the objectives of the visit. What were the lessons learned during the visit and the status of the report. Number eight, international agreements, not applicable. Number nine, statutory appointments, not applicable. Number 10, interventions, not applicable. Number 11, petitions, not applicable to this committee. Number 12, it looks at the obligations conferred on committees by legislation. It's also a repetition of what I've indicated in the past, that in terms of the Constitution, that's where it actually creates a separate sphere of the state, which is the Parliament, and also the related legislation which the Portfolio Committee must adhere to when implementing its oversight responsibilities, such as the Money Bills Amendment Procedure and Related Matters Act. Number 11, it's the summary of outstanding issues relating to the departments and entities. Again, here, Chairperson, this list is not exhaustive at all. As a result, in order not to interfere with this report, there are other issues that have developed separately, which will be added into this report. But on this one, it's the issue of the National Small Enterprise Bill. It's the finalization of the licensing bill. It's the introduction of the strategy on the development and promotion of cooperatives. It's the integrated strategy on the promotion of entrepreneurship and small enterprises. To initiate a discussion with the DFIs and the private sector financial players as to how they can establish a venture or startup in order to speed up the development of a master plan and national strategy, or to speed up the master plan and national strategy for cooperatives and SMMEs. These are just some of the issues, Chair, that I'm highlighting, which perhaps the sixth Parliament will have to look into. For instance, the issue of the Auditor General is not included here, but we may have to include it. The areas where the Portfolio Committee must also concentrate on during the sixth Parliament, it's regarding the internal or legislative creation of the socio-economic impact assessment system, which is similar to the DPME. This is one of the issues that came out strongly during the Red Tape Impact Assessment Bill, where the issue of the separation of powers came into the fore. There was therefore a suggestion that perhaps the Parliament must look at creating its own structure. And also the oversight on legislative mandate, oversight on policy mandate of the department. Other matters referred by the Speaker or Chairperson, there was none. The recommendations in this report, they come as number 15, right in the middle of the report, not at the end of the report. I left it blank, Chairperson, deliberately. You know, I'm hoping members will feed. Then number 16, it's the committee strategic plan, which was developed during February 2016, wherein a full-fledged strategic plan and 30 strategic objectives were developed. Each strategic objective developed was in line with the strategic objective and outcomes of the fifth Parliament. We are again saying the areas of spillover from the fourth Parliament were actually integrated into from the Department of Trade and Industry and EDD were integrated into the new plans of the fifth Parliament. The committee secretary will then assist with the master attendance list. That's where it ends, Chairperson. It's still a draft. It's still a work in progress. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Charles, would you like to respond?
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to Sabu for this. I'm going to be very brief, and will obviously enjoy reading it and making comments. Just one question. The business licensing bill was never considered by this committee. It was introduced by the Department of Trade and Industry and was withdrawn because of the public outcry it led to, because of the enormous bureaucratic overhead that it would place upon institutions of state to manage the requirements of licensing. So I'm just curious as to why you should bring it into this report when we never have ever considered it in the committee. And it doesn't belong to this committee. It belongs to the DTI. So just a question of clarity from you, Sabu, please.
Thanks, Comrade Chair. No, I wish to express gratitude to a very well written draft and even the way of, in a summary form, taking us through the draft. I wish to say job well done. And that it will mean we will then be able to study it so that we are able to enrich it here and there. But that's primarily what my contribution college. Thanks.
Honorable Kruger?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, allow me also to say thank you to the writer of the report, but I want to make a proposal that our strategic plan that this committee drew up in, what was it, 2016, I think, 2016, I think that whole strategic plan as a document must form part of this document, so that a new committee can have advice to start working from. So I would like to see that whole strategic plan in the in the report, Dr. Chair. With a proposal.
Honourable Lawson, then followed by Honourable Chan, and then Honourable Mabe.
Thanks, Chairperson, and thanks for the presentation. I think the report must also include the failure of the department, more especially not to achieve the intent objective. Remember when this department was under DTI, it was the mortality rate of the corporation was high, as if that the Department of DTI was suppressing the attention of small businesses and cooperatives. But these 5 years, it was one of the 5 wasted years by this department. There is nothing people which they felt on the ground in terms of cooperatives and the small businesses. It was as good as it was left there in the DTI. So, because the mortality rate, we must hear on the report, did this department, or through the portfolio committee, reduce the mortality rate of the cooperatives or not? So that the Sixth Parliament, when it comes, it must have the idea. We mustn't feel shame to show that we failed this money. The department, this department is one of the 5 years wasted year. We just wasted the resources of the state. We just wasted everything. There is no, people that doesn't gain, except the people who were in corrupt activities, who gained something in Mpumalanga and the Free State where we went. So it must be highlighted in the legacy report. And I think this department, because the government is going to reduce the department, I think this one will be one of the victims. People will motivate in the cabinet or in the ANC quotas. They will use this failure of this. There's nothing which is happening in the small business. The business, they're still bullying the small businesses. There is no teeth in the department. There is no tie. What is that? That agreement, transversal agreement, signed in the whole department. The chairperson was singing from day one up to now. There's nothing happened. That's why I said it's 5 years wasted. Yeah. So we mustn't be try to masquerade like the department was doing well. It was just wasting time. How many times we told the DG here, she must do this, she must do this, workshops and everything, nothing happened. So it must be in the legacy report. If it means this department must die, let it be and go back to the DTI. We're wasting time here.
Chance, please. Yeah, thanks for those words, Honourable Malawzi. I couldn't have put it better myself. And I would suggest, in also support of Honourable Kruger, that not just the strategic plan of the committee, but the tracking tool must be included in the legacy report, and an updated tracking tool. We haven't seen that for a while in this committee. And it was a very useful tool. And in fact, the content of the tracking tool will give extremely strong evidence and support for the position that Honourable Nancy was putting just now. Because most of the requests or demands that were placed upon the department by the committee were not fulfilled.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, welcome at the report. It's in most cases, it's a true reflection of what happened during our term. But there are only two things that I think, I don't know whether I've skipped them or are omitted that we spoke about as a committee. I see, towards the end, you speak about the issues of cooperative development agents. But I think there must be also a clear issue of the cooperatives bank. I would love to see it in black and white there as something that must also be pushed when one is looking in the legislation. I think we spoke about that. Also, it would be good that whoever comes in does not overlook the issue of transversal agreement. You remember that we always emphasize that in the committee. It's my belief that whoever comes must also not say, oh, the department has done that previously, we are told there. It must consistently be monitored. It can be there in black and white, but is it working? From other departments down to the local municipality, as we've been speaking about the local economic development, that even the department must reach that stage. That one must be clearly be stipulated, but it must be followed. To me, it's a practical service delivery, because this department can't work in isolation. That one must be, that the emphasis on that one must continue. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable, thank you, followed by Honorable Bewa.
No, thank you, Chairperson. I think, in a way, Honorable Mwabe has covered me. I think the recommendation that he's making is important. You know, the issue of transversal agreements, you know, that service delivery should be practical, should be something, you know, that is tangible, you know. The department should really, 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 really work with those people that are in the locals here, you know, in the municipalities. Those LED offices should be effective, you know. It cannot be just offices and. But I would also go back maybe to what Honorable Lauzi has said. We did not, like, waste time. There is work that this portfolio committee has done. And maybe we can say, yes, the officials have failed, maybe, the people of South Africa, but not the portfolio committee. Us as the portfolio, because this is our report as the portfolio committee. So we did not waste time, you know. We went there and we came back and ensured that the department is aware of the things that were found outside there when we were doing oversight work. You know, so we did not waste time. That I will not. It doesn't go well down with me. I mean, thank you, Chair.
No, thanks, Chair. Firstly, let's thank the report from Usbuyu. It was a good report, but you always do. You always do that. So we appreciate it, and thank you very much for. I mean, you and the secretary, you always do the good work. But, Chair, allow me to say I understand the frustration from Honorable Advocate Mlaotsi. But I don't agree with the motion says let the department die. I'm looking at our poor people, the very poor people, especially where I'm coming from. When you speak of this department, they're looking at this department as a new hope for them to open their small businesses. What I will suggest is that maybe we should make a recommendation that all those that have, like what you said, all those that have did something wrong, they must be taken out and put the right people in the department. But to say the department should die, I don't agree with that motion, and because honestly, especially our poor people, the black one, when you know where we're coming from. This department, when it was established in 2014, that was a new hope from them. So yes, there are mistakes, but let's take like the chairperson said, the organization, the ANC, the government, we are not all corrupt, but there are those elements. So
let's take those elements out, and then we move forward. Thank you very much, Chair.
I also want to weigh in here to say that the report should also look, highlight the need for a skills audit. Because if one reflects on the meetings that we had, there would be always an issue of capacity. We left the capacity. And then you would look at how did that come about? Where the DJ would come and say there is capacity challenges in the department. Even the minister would come and say, we didn't hire these people, we found them there. Which then meant that the decision to establish a new department and then transfer officials from a former department who were working on the program, when you already have a report that indicates that there is a problem because there is 8% failure rate, and you take those officials and put them in the new department to establish a new department, having not ascertained yourself that the skills required by the new department exist in those people that you are saying they should go and establish this department. Because if there is skills deficit, the department will not take off the ground. Honorable Chan.
I just want to pick up on this point, Chair, because if you recall, in 2015, quite early in the year, I think the meeting of this committee was in E249. The minister was expressing some of her frustrations at the challenges that she faced in getting the department to function properly. And we put it to her, and I put it to her in particular, that she had a small window of opportunity in which to do exactly as you said, which is to basically cut out the dead wood and look fundamentally at the capacity of the department and what its mission really should be. She didn't do it. And I think the moment that she didn't take that opportunity, she was doomed. And this department was doomed. And I think it's actually an indictment on this department that this table, I'm just trying to find the page that it occurs in on this report. Page 11. I mean, it's a shocker. None. What has it done? You know, the only two pieces of legislation that this committee has processed are two bills presented by the DA, both of which were rejected as undesirable. You know, the department, anyway, we could go on. But, you know, my main point is, because the minister wasn't prepared to really get stuck in the early days, she hobbled this department from that moment on.
Can I go back to what I was saying? I was saying that the issue of skills audit is very, very important. And one has to look at where the issue, when the department was found not to have achieved in terms of the tracking tool, It's red, 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 red. And then the DG would be asked to respond as to why the department is failing to achieve what it's supposed to achieve. The DG would respond and say there is a lack of capacity. The minister also would say there is a lack of capacity. And then both would say, we didn't choose these people. They were given to us. And the point that I am making, and this report has to make, is for Parliament to look at that issue from a strategic point of view, to say, is the executive doing justice when deciding to establish a new department to focus on small businesses and cooperatives because there is an outcry that we are neglected under DGI? And then, in the process of establishing that department, you have a report, 2009 report, that tells you that there is 88% failure rate, which would mean that the people that were in responsible for that program under DTI don't have the requisite skills and the capacity because they could not deliver under a department and under this program. But then you are taking those people and plunging them into the deeper end. You are saying they should be the ones that are establishing this department. It's no longer a program. It's a new department with a much broader mandate. Having done so, you then do not design a capacity building program that is going to equip them with the necessary skills. And I kept on making an example with myself to say, DG, it's not going to help us for you to come here and say they don't have the capacity, they don't know what to what they are doing. Develop a program to capacitate them. And I even made example of myself and said, I came here through a ticket of a political party. I was not interviewed by anyone to establish whether I can chair a portfolio committee. When the speaker was presented with this number of members, she had then to find who is going to be deployed as a chairperson, who's going to be deployed as a whip, who's going to be perform a number of duties that Parliament has to perform. And because during the elections process, political parties do not say, vote for a person who knows how to chair a portfolio committee. The speaker makes it her responsibility to empower those people. Chairperson goes through a training for chairperson. Whips go through a training for the whips so that the institution capacitates them for them to be able to perform what is expected of them to perform. So it is no use to say there is lack of capacity when no one is saying you can take your officials to a training and equip them with the necessary skills. So I would want that to be taken into consideration because even the restructuring of GANSNET, if that point is not made, another problem may exist that people will be shifted around. Even the deployment here in Parliament, I have sat in many committees. I started as a chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Sport and Recreation. I then served on provincial and local government, which is COCTA now. I got to a local government and became a deputy mayor. I came back and chaired transport, and I am now chairing small business development. Now, if you don't look at the institutional memory, who is specializing in this? It then becomes a problem because it takes longer to understand how transport functions. If you are made a chairperson of transport, it takes longer to understand how sports are structured and how you interact with those people. In this portfolio committee, I came failing because I was already a trained chairperson, and the department and the portfolio committee that I was chairing falls within my training background. Had I not been trained in community development, which also deals with economic development, how you use community assets to actually assist people to deal with their social problems and their economic problems, I would also have been lost. So that issue is very, very important. The second issue that I would want us to look at in the portfolio is the attitude. Attitude is very, very important for one to learn and to reject what could assist. The department was very, very lucky because most of the members sitting here have got the experience. Honorable Chance is a business person, comes from a small business background. Honorable Kruger is a small business, comes from a small business background. Honorable Mabasa had served in the portfolio committee of DTI, where this function was residing. I come from that background of small business, but added to that, a trainer in community development. In the first year, I came and presented to the department that here is a model that you can use. We've used it in Ugu. It was a model that links development of cooperatives to service delivery challenges and also to skills development. In South Africa, you have CETAs. They have money for skills development. You have service delivery challenges, potholes, and all those things. Then you have a program to develop cooperatives. We actually said it was Imbuzi. Instead of us holding you accountable, take this and implement it. We were guiding. And everybody was saying it's a low-hanging fruit. But the department was looking at budget from Treasury to the department instead of looking at itself as part of the entire government structure to say we can use money in CETAs to train unemployed youth on cooperative development, and when we are training them then on the skill to repair potholes, service delivery is actually being done. When you train a person to close a pothole, you are not training a person on a blackboard. You are actually closing a pothole. And we took the department to where that had happened, which was in Ugu, where I had been a deputy mayor, and they saw it for themselves. But resistance to change. Wasted. We took them to schools where schools were repaired, painted, not using money from the municipality, but using money to train the youth. but in the process the school is tainted. Sanitation is being delivered, but you are not using money from the department, you are not using money from the municipality. All you are doing, you are coordinating, and this department was mandated to coordinate. But they kept on saying, we don't have a budget, but we are empowered to coordinate. We also presented a cooperative-based community economic development. Why we were doing so? Because we had already identified that the department and the country was having a narrow perspective. They were developing cooperatives instead of developing communities through cooperatives. We presented them with a model. They resisted. And only when we took three from the department to go with us to Mondragon, then they arrived there and said, oh, we didn't know. We were talking about this. So those issues, the attitude plays a lot. The attitude, because that was the attitude. The department could have run because there were examples already. But the department wanted to carry on with what they believed was needed. So they were operating from a perceived need, not a felt need. They were also not willing to learn from others. They believed in themselves. They also continued to work in isolation, silo mentality, instead of seeing themselves as part of the entire government. Even aligning the stress plan of SIDA and SIFA to that of the department was told by the portfolio committee, it didn't come from them. So, Tina, we played our role as a portfolio committee. What was lacking was how the department was responding to what was to opportunities that we presented to them. And for as long as that happened, nothing will happen in South Africa. The last thing, because most of Pendula Bati, they were transversal agreements. Transversal agreement is something that is signed, informed by a particular project. We kept on saying 2010 Soccer World Cup made departments to sign agreements to commit that we will align our programs and our budget to achieve this particular project. And the project here is the creation of 90% of 11 million new jobs by 2030. And in the absence of how the Department of Small Business see that being achieved, and what role the Department of Small Business sees being played by the Department of Transport, the Department of Energy, the Department of Agriculture in enabling the country to achieve the 90% of 11 million new jobs through small businesses and cooperatives. Nothing will happen. Nothing. Because you don't see the opportunities. You don't see which sectors you need to be focusing on. The fact that there is technology that can use wind to produce energy, the sun to produce energy, ocean waves to produce energy. Those assets are found in communities. The sun shines in a particular community. Then the person who has got a technology gets a license. And the department doesn't see that as an opportunity to say, we will develop cooperatives that are going to occupy the renewable energy space. because the assets that are used to actually produce energy are found in communities. And the training then has to take the community to think in that direction, to say, oh, we have a son, and we can then send our children to technology universities and charge them with the responsibility of developing a technology which can use the sun. Or we have cow dung, or we have waste, or we have ocean waves. So they must go and learn how to do a wind turbine and then install and keep the energy. No, they are sleeping, and then people from outside South Africa, they come with these technologies and apply for licenses, and the government gives them. Because they have done the study on how to use assets that belong to the asset-based community development, lacking again. So, the lack of a strategic approach and how you position communities to actually effectively participate in mainstream economy is what was lacking here, because all small businesses and cooperatives are only viewed as Cinderella businesses. They are not taken as a pillar for transformation of the economy to serve the people. So, Mina, that is what I think also we need, because we need to assist Parliament, not just the Portfolio Committee, to assist Parliament to say, how do we ensure that the executive takes decisions, even in terms of deployment, on how to deploy people with capacity, and also what do you do when you have officials who do not have capacity? Do you keep on coming here and crying that they don't have capacity instead of training them? So those are important issues. Honorable Mabasa, you also had your hand up.
Thanks, Comrade Chair. No, I think most points have been covered, and also taking this opportunity to say good morning to Comrade Deputy Minister. But I think most issues have been covered, and because it's the first time we receive the draft, I will propose that we go and study it thoroughly and enrich it, and I propose we move to the next agenda items. And but what we shouldn't do is to punish small businesses and cooperatives as a government. That would be very wrong. The fact that there are challenges, the solution shouldn't be to say we don't need the department, the Small Business and Cooperatives Department. Because if we do that, it means we will be worsening the situation, the plight of the small business and cooperatives. We must rather, as we are busy now identifying the weaknesses, our approach should be to say, for the sixth parliament, what should be done to ensure that most of the weaknesses are addressed, in order to advance the growth of small businesses and cooperatives. I think I propose we take more that attitude, so that the hope of small businesses and cooperatives should still be sustained. Thanks, Corrige.
Can we have a
10-minute
break? There is fresh tea, and then come back to the item of the National Association of Cooperatives.
I hope one is Baba.
The thought in this school is actually what is a DJ, and then you don't have DJs, you have people that are acting that you keep on rotating, and then below you have then chief directors and directors and all those. NgesiZulu sithi uthakide uhlolile imamba yalukile. What that translates to, okay, anyone here can do as he wishes in life, because there is no one that is strategically positioned to see what is happening. What if he can't see what is happening in each and every unit? So the fact that in this department, ama positions, ama DDs, kuze kwaphela 5 years, engagcwaliswanga, is a cause, is a concern. Because the directors and the chief directors and the deputy, what, who do as they please. And if a report yaka Auditor General can confirm what the portfolio committee was suspecting, then the question would be, when the portfolio committee pointed at that, the first thing that the DG was supposed to do was to fill in the key strategic position and have people that were going to assist her to see what is happening below. Failure to do that would then mean which A. The good we are here. And you can't have a train that requires a ticket examiner, requires a Oshamla, but who depends on the team, because there is a train driver. All these other activities that are required to ensure that the train moves are not as important as the driver of the train. All positions are important. And the point that you are making, key positions are very, very important in making a department to function well. Let us then move to the presentation. Again, to recap, we had a meeting last year with the national structures of the cooperatives. And we wanted to understand how cooperatives are structured in South Africa in their view. What all these national structures are representing. And then when we departed, we said to them, go back and then within 2 weeks, submit a report to us which will say these are our members, this is what they do, these are the services that we provide to them, this is their state of development, these are the challenges, and this is how we think the challenges can be resolved. The reason for us to actually call Lama National Structures, when we first invited Isanako, two Sanakos came. And Sanako stands for South African National Apex Cooperative. And that gave us a problem. Then There is National Cooperatives Association of South Africa, that is SANACWA, yes. Then there is South African National Apex Cooperative. Then there is National Apex Cooperatives of South Africa. Then there is National Association of Cooperative Financial Institutions of South Africa. As we sit here, we don't know who is doing what. On that day, you came and told us that this is who you are, this is what you are doing. But your presentations were more focusing on your internal structure. You did not tell us who your members are, what services you provide to them, what value have you added, what challenges do you experience, and how what you are doing assist the country to transform the economy. Remember, Pelgute, the cooperatives in South Africa are a strategic intervention chosen by the African National Congress in 1969. To say the economy in South Africa is skewed, it favors the private sector. Communities are only participating in the economy as providers of labor and consumers of goods produced somewhere else. Fast forward. And then the ANC said, when assume power, we will transform South Africa into a mixed economy driven by three pillars. There will be state-owned enterprises, there will be private-owned enterprises which were already existing in South Africa. But in the private-owned enterprises, we ensure that we open opportunities for the previously disadvantaged people, which is why then the ANC government introduced BEE and all those things. The third pillar is the social economy, community-owned enterprises, and workers-owned enterprises. Who would subscribe to the concept of cooperatives? Because government alone will not have enough resources to address social and economic problems at community level. So supporting cooperatives would then enable government to achieve development and deal with social ills, because cooperatives are governed democratically. Number two, the wealth they create is invested back into the community to further develop the community. It's unlike the private sector where wealth is used to buy aeroplane and the person now also hamba nge private jet yak because he is or she is moneyed. In cooperatives, they don't buy the private jet, they invest back into the community by creating other job opportunities or investing in providing services that government is unable to provide alone. That is why the ANC chose the concept of cooperation to say we will support the social economy. Now, if you look at the current situation, you would say that we have not arrived at that because this court has got three legs, but the strong leg is that one which represents the private sector. The leg that represents state-owned enterprises is a big thing because they are weak. And the leg that is supposed to represent the social economy doesn't exist if the report we have says 88% of cooperatives are actually dying. So this leg that is put there to actually transform the economy and make it to serve the people is not achieving that. And then we said, let us call those who are in leadership of this sector, the cooperatives, engage with them. Firstly, find out whether we see issues from a common perspective. Secondly, get from them how they think this problem should be solved. Which is why today we have a report engagement with the national bodies and then a briefing on progress with the National Cooperative Summit by the Department of Small Business to say, having had all those problems, where will these things be discussed in order to come up with a possible solution? So today then we are expecting these national bodies to present to us. Unfortunately, it's only one that wrote a report and submitted it within 2 weeks after he had been here. That was NASA. The rest did not. We hope that their presentations today will actually take us to that direction. I will then call upon the National Association of Cooperatives Financial Institutions has apologized. Okay. Then we will go to the National Apex Cooperatives of South Africa.
Good day. Greetings to the House, greetings to the Chair, greetings to the Minister and Deputy Minister present, and all members of the portfolio, and the rest of the cooperators that I see around the table. We are afforded, my name is Ashley Paulson. I am the Chairperson of NACSA, National Apex Cooperative South Africa. We are afforded an email or a letter to the Portfolio Committee, and I believe it has been disseminated, and you should have it in front of you. What I would want to do is just to, not to read the letter because you've read it by now, but just to bring out the essence thereof and then give a brief on it and then our way forward. And then I will avail myself to questions. What we would want to state is that it is very difficult for us as the bodies representing cooperatives on the ground. Over the past 2 years at least, we have received numerous calls from Parliament and specifically from the Honourable Chair, also from the Ministry, also from the Department, that due to a lack of unity, due to a lack of working together, it is very difficult for the Department to come up with a cohesive strategy to support and assist cooperatives because there are too many voices out there speaking on behalf of cooperatives. I can clearly remember at the third annual congress of the SACOs, the Honorable Chair indicated there as well in Durban that if you are not going to unite, you will be wasting your time on the ground. Spend some time in finding each other. Well, that's exactly what we've done. After our meeting on the 14th of November here in Parliament, SANACO and NACSA decided to get together, and then at that particular session, we then agreed that in order for us to provide a proper service to our members and to adequately respond to the request from this session and from Parliament. There were three things that we were asked for: the development status of the cooperatives in our care, progress on the development of the sector approach, and the proposed issues for Envisage Cooperative Summit.
Has it distributed this to all members?
Well, it was...
No, some members are saying they don't have this letter.
Okay, Mr. Kunene?
No, for all members. And you see, this is what is being discussed, is being presented here.
Well, I've sent it through and I've...
No, we are speaking to
the committee secretary.
No, you should have printed for all members. No? Who put that? Which one? No, we need this one as well. It should be printed. Yes, you can carry on.
Thank you. So one of the first things we have decided as NACSA and SANACO is to definitely find each other, because we can sit here and we can present a beautiful report, but if there is no unity on the ground, then it's very, very difficult for the department to determine who do you support, who do you work with, and everybody is claiming to be that particular custodian. Then on the 31st of January, a meeting was held between SANACO and NACSA, and a resolution, which we have a copy of, which will be distributed as well, was then signed. And the essence of this particular resolution basically states that we will make sure that we will form one body so that we can serve the members collectively and then approach the department and parliament in a collective voice. As from the 1st of March, it has been the intention, and it is the intention, for us not to speak in the voice of NACSA. In actual fact, this session here today is putting us a step back, because now I speak in the voice of NACSA, and after this, President Bali will speak in the voice of SANACO. And this is going to take us now to the 30th of January, instead of the 31st of January, where we're supposed to be speaking in one voice. You'll also note that the letter sent has been signed by both SANACO presidents and NACSA presidents. This is our intention. After us combining and forming one unit, we then proceeded by completing a terms of reference, and that was adopted. It has been prepared, and we will also then forward that to the department and to whoever needs to be the recipient of this particular terms of reference. The essence of this terms of reference basically says how we will make sure that we will form one particular organization. And then we have developed a roadmap which will be adopted by the two organizations on the 13th of March 2019, and also an MOU. Those documents are done. It has been consulted with and worked with the two organizations. However, it will only be adopted on the 13th of March with a broader setting of the two, and then we will also make that information available. The reason why we're doing this, it is not to say that we do not have the information, but it is who do you keep on speaking to as a parliament? Who do you speak to as a department? Because over the past 2 years, or at least 4 years in my working as a cooperator, everybody puts up their hand to say, please speak to us if you want to speak to the cooperatives. And I think that has been the failure of us as organizations. Hence, we are of the opinion that if Parliament gives us a very short period of time, just after the 13th of March, so that we can present one outcome, one report, and it will be something beautiful, and I really think we will be able to surprise Parliament. Also, we are also saying that that is not the end of a collaborative format. We are saying whoever else is out there that needs to form part of this who considers themselves to be a representative body will form part of this. And there's no issue in terms of who needs to lead it, how we need to do it, but there needs to be some form of representative body. Our aim, and it has always been the aim specifically with INACSA, to look at cooperatives as a vehicle for the development of sectors. So we are looking at sector development, and I can comfortably inform Parliament today that the transport sector has been highly developed. Also, we've used the cooperative model, and that question that was posed by Parliament when I still worked within the transport sector, and I'm still working there, but as a cooperator within transport, was, guys, go out there, utilize cooperatives as a means to develop the transport sector. I can tell you, Chairperson, you were the Chairperson at that particular time, Honorable Chair, of transport. We've hearkened. It's a slow process. It's a long process. We've gone to the Department of Small Business Development. Just a pity Mr. Ndumo is not here. We've worked very closely to him. One thing that he said, money is not going to help you. We have not received a single cent, but we have received guidance. We have received direction. We got to a point now where we have international investors on board because we are running the cooperative, not the cooperative process, we are running transport through cooperatives from a business perspective. And we are having continuous guidance from them in terms of what we should be doing, how we should be doing that. So that is where we're going. After transport, we are looking at picking up agriculture. We are already lining up international sponsors and investors to come in. And we are not asking for grants now. You'll notice that we have not received any grants from the department, and we will most probably, as cooperatives, not ask for grants. We are asking for keys so that we can open doors. There are a lot of doors that are still locked. If we can get the officials just to make sure that red tape reduction is taken care of, but we will have these kind of discussions, I believe, as a united front between the different organizations. Our request here today is a humble request, Honorable Chair, for us to be given a little bit more time, and we're only asking for time till after the 13th of March. Once we have agreed on the roadmap, and once we have agreed on our terms of reference, then we should be able to put together the kind of request that is being asked for. It just came at a very untimely position for us. Also take note, and I will end here, Honorable Chair, that these organizations out there are using funds from their own pockets. They have not solicited funds from the membership fees. There's no membership fees being taken, and that can be audited. We are taking money from our spouses and from making loans or contributions from our own personal cooperatives where we're working. For example, in my cooperative, not mine, in our cooperative where I'm working, the South African Transport Center of Excellence, they will assist. Otherwise, my wife will assist. So it is difficult for us to go and travel across the whole of South Africa to gather the information. So we need the support, and therefore we want to come to the Department of Small Business Development as a unified force. And I think our past experiences have shown that we cannot come and everybody claiming to be the representative body. And here comes Mr. Ndoma. It's a pity you didn't hear what I said earlier, sir. But maybe you can be questioned on that. In closing, two things. We're asking for a wee bit more time. And then lastly, we are making huge strides within the sectors, specifically within transport, and we do have the support of the Department of Small Business Development. It will be nice if we can also get some form of financial support so that we can honor some of the requests that has been made by Parliament to us so that we can travel across the breadth of South Africa to do what we are doing instead of asking our wives and our children for funds. I'm open to questions if you allow that, Madam Chair.
Can I be reminded of your name?
My name is Ashley Paulson. I represent NACSA, but only up until the 13th of March, where we should not be using the name NACSA any longer.
Okay. No, I don't know whether you understood what was said to your organization by the portfolio committee in a meeting that was held last year. Did you understand?
Yes, I did, Honorable Chair. I was present at that meeting. I also received the notification, and we then decided to respond thus, and I've given the reasons why we are responding in the way we are responding, and therefore we have requested that this particular parliament, this portfolio committee, gives us time just after the 13th of March so that we can be more appropriate, more adequate in a decent response.
I still want to repeat that the way you come across and what you are presenting to us is not what we ask you to come and present. We did not ask any of the structures that were here to go and negotiate amongst themselves how an apex body would look like. We didn't ask you to do that. We said we have a problem in that you are all assuming to be the national structure representing cooperatives. And in your presentation, you are talking about yourself. We even said you are looking internally. And we said we wanted to know who are your members, who do you actually represent, and what services do you provide to your members. Three, what is the impact of the service that you are providing to them? Four, what are the challenges which require intervention? And five, what are you proposing as possible solutions to those challenges? Because so now we are talking about the country. Our understanding is a South Africa that has got a mixed economic system. There is a missing leg from the three leg ports. And that missing leg is the social economy. And what will bring about the social economy in South Africa is a vibrant cooperative movement, starting from the primary cooperatives to the secondary cooperatives to the tertiary cooperative and an apex body. And in that process, we also looked at South Africa to say, how is the economy, what sectors are actually in the economy? Because South Africa has got minerals, therefore there is a mining sector in the economy. There is a transport sector in the economy. There is a housing sector in the economy. There is an agricultural sector in the economy. There is a financial sector in the economy. What we would then want to understand is, what are the focus areas of these national bodies? Which sectors do they represent? And how do they see that sector being transformed into a mixed economy? What challenges do they experience? If where we have invited here in this portfolio committee big businesses and small businesses to actually resolve the conflict between big business and small business. Big business is bullying small businesses. That points out to a very bigger problem. So, we did not say go and negotiate. We did at no stage we talked about negotiations between SANACO and NACSA. We said in 2 weeks, provide us with a report of who your members are. Because you are a national body, you were supposed to provide us with the information which tells us, are you a tertiary cooperative or you are an APEX body? And if you are a tertiary cooperative, who are the secondary cooperatives, who are your members, and where are they? And what sectors are you focusing on? And then you would then tell us, what services, if you are a tertiary cooperative, do you provide to the secondary cooperatives, who are your members? And what services do your members provide to the primary cooperatives? Because we've been out there and we found cooperatives, the primary cooperatives, out of 188 died. And the 12 that survived are not in mainstream economy. They are just survivalists. In actual fact, members of cooperatives still queue for the social grant. Which means that although we can say we have cooperatives, but we have not made them to participate, effectively participate in mainstream economy, then how are we transforming the economy? So that is what we ask you to come and present here today. We did not ask you to come and present about your negotiations of NACSA and SANACO. We did not. I will open the I'm just clarifying that what you have presented is not what we have asked you to. That if members want to discuss that, they can ask questions. Honorable Chan?
Just a suggestion, Chair, that if SANACO is here, that we hear their presentation before we comment, because otherwise, you know, we're sort of only seeing one half of the story.
Can we have then a presentation by SANACO?
Thank you very much, Chair. Let me pay my respect to you, the Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, as well as to the Minister, Honorable Minister, Deputy Minister, DG, all of you members of the Parliament, other stakeholders, and all of you. Chairperson, we really appreciate this moment to come and share with the Parliament and the country what we are doing. I must first say that this year we'll be celebrating the 10th year of the birth of SANACO. Allow me to give a background. SANACO is guided by the developmental targets contained in the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals and the Africa 2063 Agenda and the National Development Plan. The corporate movement has a critical role to play in realizing the goals advanced in these three most critical documents. The focus of SANACO in the past years has been on skills development of cooperatives to increase the chances of sustainable cooperatives. This is in line with the goal number 4 of SDG. Goal number 5, the gender equality, and goal 7, affordable clean energy. Goal number 8, decent work and economic growth. And goal number 11, sustainable cities and communities. Goal 12, responsible consumption and production. Goal 13, climate action. Goal number 17, partnership for the goals. The first aspiration of the Africa 2063 agenda talks about a prosperous Africa based on the inclusive growth and sustainable development. This resonates SANACO programs and activities the past decade of its existence. SANACO has identified relevant and key goals of government contained in the NDP. Chapter 6 and the NDP talks about inclusive rural economy, and chapter talks about economy and employment. SANACO has mounted its programmatic interventions on addressing these two critical goals and the NDP. Allowing Chairperson to share with you what SANACO is. SANACO is about the future, of course addressing the present. We are addressing the issue of the poorest and the poor of our country. SANACO, we see ourselves as a solution together with others on challenge of poverty, unemployment that confronts South Africa. Chairperson, I hope that you are based on the community, and where you are traveling, foreign nationalists use consumer and wholesale co-op approach, as they are very successful. SANACO can help address the challenges of youth unemployment through training, skills, and working with CITAS, ProductSA, and as well as others. Parliament has a duty to lobby the relevant departments to fund SANACO. It is painful to see money returned to the National Treasury whilst we are in this time of the poorest, but money is not used for its purpose but returned back. It's a painful to us, and we can't even explain to the country. Your presence as parliamentarians, we are challenging all of you to visit our cooperatives and see the great work cooperatives are doing. Chairperson, we all want to thank you. You visited Limpopo when we were giving the certificate in Limpopo, as well as the minister visited the certificate when we were giving the certificate ceremony in Johannesburg. The deputy minister as well attended in Polokwane when we were giving the certificate ceremony. We are giving hope to our people. Government cannot employ everyone and cannot, it's not the duty of government to employ. But it is important for government to create a conducive environment for cooperatives to thrive. Our people should participate in the production of food, agro-processing, manufacturing, industrialization, and factory. There are a lot of buildings in each of every town and the former homelands. They are depleting those buildings, are not used for anything. As SANACO, we are ready to work with you and make sure that these are based on the communities to use them for purpose of growing the economy. We should be creative to do the work ourselves. We talk about the proudly South African, but we don't implement that. This report will cover responses on the questions posed by the previous committee in the previous session. SANACO will provide an insight and additional questions posed by the committee. The report will also cover the contribution of SANACO globally, continent, SADC, and locally. But we have the view about this 88% that we don't agree with. We can discuss about that. But we don't agree about 88%. SANACO poses a concrete steps that can be taken to mitigate that challenge. A push for cooperatives in supply chain stores has resulted in the exploitation of cooperatives and is clearly outlined in this report. SANACO has enjoyed the overwhelming support and the partnership established with the local and the district municipality across the country. I must say, Chairperson, was visited by a number of mayors in our office, Eastern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, Limpopo, Mpumalanga, Northwest. Some of the mayors, they came with their chiefs, working together with us. And we are proud about that, and we've got projects that we can go and show you what we did. And this is during our time, Chairperson. And this must also go to a legacy report political committee. SANACO clarifies the issue of the SIU investigation on corrupt officials. The delicate matter has been used to drive a smear campaign against officials of SANACO or a factual account as provided in this report on the matter. I want to clear this matter, Chairperson. The report of the proclamation was never about investigating SANACO. We submitted that. I think today we give you the report. It says, must read it clearly, investigate of COCTA or officials of COCTA on the word given to SANACO. So that's clear, and the people must understand just that. But we leave it there for this mere campaign of those who want to achieve, which we don't know what it is they want to do. But we are giving facts. We're not talking, we're giving you, we've attached that proclamation that is signed by the president. If I can ask, how do you say you've taken the money of the government when you don't work for government? And it's a painful issue about this matter. And we argue this parliament and everybody to stop this smear campaign. And we'll not just leave it just like that. We'll take high steps for that because we are not involved in this. We don't work for government. The final part of the report concentrates recommendation towards the World Cooperative Summit in South Africa. Amongst others, SANACO recommends a Focal Cooperative Act number 6 of 2013 that will usher soon in South Africa. We also want to say it's also disappointing to the minister and the chairperson that the World 5 years, as of which was signed in 2013, the act has never been used for the World 5 years. And as cooperatives, it's an issue of concern. And we don't want just to live like that. We're arguing to come to us, or we come to you, to work together and get solutions, and we implement that. Because we are the ones who were saying we need a legislative, not favors, but the legislation should favor our people. We are the ones who introduced the issue of the tribunal, introduced the issue of the academy, introduced the cooperative development to focus on the assistance and support of cooperatives. And I must say, Chairperson, that our general manager in November visited Mushi University in Tanzania, Morogoro, where you talk about. And we are making relationship to assist us to establish, and it's in the process. And very soon you'll see the fruits. We are working with the Department of Education in this regard. And I must say that we must appreciate the support and see that CITAS are given to us, as well as the almost productive SA, that we have worked together to train more than 30,000 individuals. We also want the firm recommendation on the new guidelines of the Cooperative Incentive Scheme. Chairperson, as you are raising about the issues of the Cooperative Incentive Scheme, we are saddened that the new development, the new department which came, it found SANACO as part of the board on the Cooperative Incentive Scheme. But the department came and removed us. It's a painful thing. We wrote a letter to say SANACO is playing role to monitor and work together and see the gaps, not for anything, so that when something left, we go to this cooperative and say, this is left and let's do it this way. But we have left, and the cooperatives are suffering. We received numerous letters from the other cooperatives from Davana, Masakona, as well in Johannesburg. I must indicate that one white man, a cooperative from Johannesburg next to Ellis Park, visit my office every week, talk to the department. We have submitted for the 2 years now, Cooperative Incentive Scheme. They are not assisting anyway. I visited that cooperative. They are doing extremely well. But they've applied. They've got a letter of acknowledgement, but nothing is happening. It's not only those, political committee. If you allow me to say, go back to the office and send out those letters from cooperatives that are coming to SANACO, as a SANACO, as the voice, as the union of cooperatives, not politically aligned with anyone. What is your say when we apply, we don't get a response? And we spoke to the deaf department, but no one respond and no one assists. And I maybe the minister is here, deputy minister is here, DG is here, that I can also give them those letters and say, what is happening for the last 5 years? Some of them is 8 years, and nothing is happening. And it's a pain. This is a pain. And we cannot go out and say we're fighting government, but it's a pain, I must say. The Mondragon would love, Chairperson, to appreciate the support which were given by the Department of the whole economic development in Gauteng, who supported us to visit Mondragon in Spain, where we've learned a lot. We've got some relationship with the Mondragon cooperatives. We're doing well. Who they influence the policies and legislation. So we say to the economic development in Gauteng, thanks very much. And we're also insisting to you that if you've got an opportunity when you visit out of the country on cooperatives, don't leave us, because we are the ones going to do that work. So you open, as other colleagues says, you open and say, continue with these things, and we'll come back and report. On the issue of addressing the so-called 88 failure rate, which we don't agree on that. SANAGO is of the view that of the qualitative research needs to be undertaken, which will joint effort between the cooperative and the department. The research will be able to unearth the status of cooperatives in South Africa. Currently, the data available is sketchy and unreliable. So we need to work together in finding this. Because some of them, cooperatives on the paper, some are operational. So working together, we can do more, and we can change the lives of the people on the ground. The autonomy and independence of cooperatives is compromised by some of the government officials who want to own cooperatives and who want to influence the leadership of cooperatives in this country. Autonomy of independence of cooperatives should be maintained at all times, and let cooperatives do their job. Support them. Don't interfere. The intervention of or support from government should be aimed at sustainable cooperatives. I want to raise the issue of the locality and the issue of the ICD and other conference that we have. Chairperson, I'm sitting here proud about the legacy of SANAGO. Since the establishment of SANAGO in 2008 till today, we have never missed any celebration of the ICD. We also want to put on record that we were disappointed last year when the department, which every year budget for Cooperative International Day, they withdraw, they said they don't have money. We want to know. They didn't budget for that. They withdraw. They never even come. But we want to say the reality. We were blessed by the Deputy Minister. We came and see what we did. And the report of the 2018 is attached, Chairperson, where we got support from the churches of the Moria, which were very many, and then other churches and other communities. But the department didn't come, neither did even support in any kind. Once they've got the budget every year, where's that money? We need to know where the money is. When the money is budgeted to support cooperatives, but they don't come. Instead, they focus on negative things which has got nothing to do with cooperatives. And we want to question the integrity and faithfulness to serve the people of South Africa, not political parties, but if they are ready to serve the people of country. It pains us when government has got resources, but those resources are reversed and not work for the purpose intended to. And we'll raise this at all times. And we'll want you, Parliament Chairperson, and this political committee, to assist us to unearth what is happening in the department. We, the role of the SANAGO in the global, we are members in good standing of the global ICA, International Cooperative Alliance. Chairperson, I've raised this before, I'm raising it today. SANAGO, during its existence as part of the legacy, hosted the global conference in South Africa, in Africa, on behalf of Africa. For the first time since 1895, SANAGO was born in 2009 and then is convinced the globe to come and visit continent. And we hosted that successfully. And that is three. That since then, the ICA Global has never gone to Africa, except SANAGO did that. And it's proud of our legacy. Ours is to lobby and advocate. And we did that. And it's our pride. In the continent, we are proud to say, last year we were in Nigeria. On our own, Chairperson, I'm raising this point, we are not getting any assistance from government, not funding whatsoever. Sometimes we don't even talk to each other. We just meet there. Last year we have met the department officials and department ministry in Nigeria. We went there on our own. Department was going there for the meeting of the cooperatives. Going to leave cooperatives behind. Who are they going to implement those? So it's a painful issue that we need to engage on this matter. It's unfortunate that I must say, I please put my head down in respect of our president, Stanley Muchiri, who passed on in Nigeria when he steps down from the president. If Chairperson, don't disturb your parliament, if you can have a minute of silence for the founding president of the Alliance Africa in the continent, who died last year in Nigeria in the conference. Thank you very much. As I indicated, that SANACO has been playing a central role in the both Alliance Africa and the International Cooperative Alliance. SANACO is currently participating in the critical forums for dialogue created by Alliance Africa. In 2018, SANACO attended the Alliance Africa in Tanzania, like I said, by the general manager, and then as well in Swaziland by our youth, Lawrence Munyai. And then, of course, it was the issue of the credit and cooperative bank which were participating and getting the skills. And, of course, I must say that we're working together with the cooperative of Lesotho, whom want to say thank you very much, Minister. They came and the Minister went to greet them and appreciate them. And the Minister, thank you very much for that. We really appreciate. She was in a very tight schedule. But she just used to say, when you are working internationally, will not live alone. And Minister, thanks again. And then for that, we say, I indicated that we visited Mondragon, we visited the Kenya, and the last one was in December, when the President of SANACO, Mr. Lawrence Bare, and the Secretary General, Tadu Mabuza, visited China in December, from the 10th to the 16th. You can see the role that we are playing, international and local. A number of cooperatives supplying the stores, there has been upswing and in the downturning in the number of cooperatives supplying the chain stores. One of the biggest challenges is the price these chain stores are willing to pay cooperatives. They dictate the terms because we're not doing this together, which is a challenge that we need to engage. The relationship between SANACO, municipalities, I wrote stroke communities, I wrote stroke inkosis or mahosi or chiefs. We've hosted a summit last year in Beggars Park where the chiefs were there, the municipalities were there, communities were there. And amongst others, we agreed to say we must assist communities for the formalizations of community structures to be assisted, not to work as informal. And for that, we are getting support from the municipalities. I may mention a few. The Moi River Municipality, when the mayor stayed us a long time, the Eastern Cape Mayor and the chiefs, the Limpopo, the Mpumalanga. I must also indicate that last year, we had a very big event in Limpopo where the Minister of Labor, Mayor Wasichaba, Mildred Oliphant, visited in a very rural area, and she gave support, and she lobbied that the UIF and other stakeholders of the department should support cooperatives, and that's on course. And we're saying to Chairperson and the Minister, send our gratitude to the Minister of Labor, Mildred Oliphant. We are really, really, really humbled by that commitment. SANACO Cooperatives Development Status. Cooperatives that are affiliated to SANACO are at different stages of development. The cooperatives have been categorized into three successful cooperatives: average performing successful cooperatives and struggling or failing cooperatives. Given the cooperatives affiliated to SANACO, our database shows 40% successful rate of primary cooperatives. See attached the spreadsheet that we've attached. As well as, like I indicated, if this portfolio committee, Mr. Kruger, I will appreciate if you want to take me on board and say, give me a few cooperatives that this portfolio committee can visit. Ugoma senga barauzi. Ugoma challenge. Aba de wabone zera koita. Noti na muro. Tata na mabasa. Tanani hibona le susi endako. Chairperson, we are arguing with all portfolio members. Come and see what we are doing on the ground. With no support. And I must tell you, Chairperson, I want you to look me at my eye. communities are standing up on their own. They are surviving, they are living without government. And it's a challenge. If communities can rise up and do things on their own without support, I'm telling you, that chair will never sit on it. You will not be called by these names. Either ministers or deputy ministers or the chairpersons. Because people, communities are going to rise and take charge of their own lives. And they'll be tired. Because they, for them to survive, they need to practice the principles of cooperatives. Self-help, self-reliance, self-responsibility. And this is what we're doing. I must say, last week, chairperson, I was in Cape Town. The hall was full. People were standing on the windows. I was overwhelmed when people come and see what Sanogo is doing. And then let me tell you the other thing, chairperson. We are attaching them with the programs. We don't tell them and leave them. We are attaching them with the people that can take them through. I'm happy to raise. We are working with other investors in Johannesburg. They identified the Protea place this after those two graduates there. We are going to produce agro-processing, burial societies. They are going to invest $15 billion in that area. From there, they are going to invest $20 billion in the Krugersdorp, building 22,000 houses. And we are supporting our, mobilizing our people to make sure use the dump mines to make bricks so that as cooperatives, they should have a space. And we are playing that role. What is the role of SANACO? It's to lobby and advocate, speaks on its behalf, its members, to get an opportunity to able to survive. And that's what we are doing, chairperson. And we are saying to you, don't take my word. You have visited Limpopo. You have seen what we did. And I'm still challenging, come in, not go in the hall, go and see what we are doing. And this is what we are doing as active citizens of this country. Not motivated by anything, but they say, we'll not sit back, Mr. Kruger, and say our people are suffering. We'll need to take a step. And we want to work together. As you told me that you can't swim and leave this continent. And we're telling you, come, let's work together. Let's work together. On the issue of the summit, Shepard said, we want to put on record, and to everybody here now, we support the issue of the summit, not missing our ways. As I'm now putting record, we support the summit cooperative. So we need it as soon as possible. And it should happen before the 8th of May. We need to engage on this issue, maybe even here today, chairperson, that we should not just postpone. We need to agree. We support the summit. And then we need to discuss and agree when is this going to happen. And of course, cooperatives should be in the front. It's about cooperatives. So department you are supporting must not take the lead because you say you have got resources. Backline, so that if you don't need that, you can do on your own. You cannot tell me that we've got resources, what is what to do. Don't control people. Empower people. So we raise these things at all the times. Now because of resources, said, no, we have to do this thing. It's wrong, chairperson. Know your functions and mandate. Government is to support policy and then as well as the funds that if they're available. If not, like we did last year in Limpopo, when they withdraw in the 11th hour, on the ICT, when they've got a budget, and we did it. And we're saying, we also want you to applaud us on that, that we're continuing with that government, and we're mobilizing. I'll just jump other status, but as we say that, chairperson, on the build-up, we want to build up to the sun, because not everyone will come. We rather do it in the district and in the provinces, so that we're able to get more brains. We must not take ourselves as the only brain people. We must go to the people, work with people, listen to them, work with them, and do with them. That is the best way of doing the work. I need to conclude. The Department of Small Business should give cooperatives an insight of the cooperatives in the scheme. That is the challenge on the guidelines with effect. And we also want to know when is the new act is going to work. And finally, chairperson, would wish in the new department that is going to be in the new dispensation, in the sixth department that is going to come, we want to have a comfortable of a home. We don't want to be mixed like we're doing a favor by small business. If it's a small business, it should be indicated Department of Small Business and Cooperatives. We don't want to be stepchildren. We want a home, and we're lobbying for that to the Parliament. We hope Parliament will process that. And to the Minister, we hope we'll do that, the Deputy Minister. And we're saying thank you very much. And if you need other information, we'll give it to what are available. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Can we have the next presentation?
Sorry, Chairperson, just a critical one. We have got a copy of the registered cooperatives. We want to raise that. Registered cooperatives, the national body. In the printout, it's only SANACO which says South African National Apex Cooperatives, which interline, this is not what you used to do, intertwine, the word you used to intertwine, and it's SANACO. And I raised this before. SANACO was initiated by cooperatives and the department. When they come together in 2008, they said, we need an apex board in the country. It's only one. That was the resolution. And that's how SANACO was born. But now you see this many happens. And Jefferson, you know how many times a born many babies comes? So many, more than five. But the collapse on the way. SANACO still stands. We have got an office, staff, paying the and we even came here, Jefferson, on our own. We've got members that are paying. We are accountable to the people. But let me also slash you a little bit. Don't say we must come and account to Parliament when that doesn't pay us. We account to those who pay, give us money. And those are our members. You can't say come and account. Who accounts for what? We may work together and create a conducive environment to work together. But when you account, it's when you work to people. Thank you very much.
Can I stop you there? Go and read the South African Constitution. Parliament is empowered by the Constitution to invite anybody to present to Parliament information that Parliament wants to know. It's in the Constitution. So we don't invite people here because they are funded by government. We invite people to come to Parliament because Parliament wants information about something, anything that Parliament feels Parliament needs to know about. Like, say that priest, that pastor who pretended that he woke up, he resurrected a person. The portfolio committee on home affairs can call that priest. Although that church doesn't receive any funding from Parliament, because it is in the jurisdiction of that portfolio committee to hold accountable any structure that has to do with religious, cultural, and traditional. They will call that. So it's not about money. It's about Parliament being the highest decision-making structure in the country. A structure that makes the law of the country, and a structure that holds everyone accountable in terms of the laws of the country. So, yeah. So you are in a, when you present to us, you are actually presenting to the seat of power. I'm sitting in a seat of power. This seat is the seat of power. There is no one above Parliament. Even the executive president accounts to Parliament. Like that. Honorable Chad.
Sorry, Chair, a slight correction. The Constitutional Court examines the Constitution. We live in a constitutional democracy, not a parliamentary democracy. We used to have a parliamentary democracy in the days of the National Party, and the National Party used that to manipulate legislation, which the courts did nothing about. So although Parliament is the superior body in terms of the executive, the Constitution is what we have as our apex body.
Honorable Chan, don't distort what I have said. I said there is a constitution in this country and Parliament is empowered by a constitution. I said to Mr. Bale, you must go and read the Constitution. Parliament is the highest decision-making structure in the country.
in terms of the constitution of this country. So, Parliament can call anyone to come and account to Parliament.
Can I turn to the business at hand?
I've asked the next presenter to present so that we can then move and ask questions to all the presenters.
Thanks for the opportunity, Chairperson. Let me start by humbly passing my greetings to the Honorable Portfolio Committee under the wise leadership of the Chairperson.
Sorry, Bob. Before you continue, I just want to appreciate the fact that NASA was the only national structure that submitted a report that we have asked for 2 weeks after, within the deadline that we said they must submit a report within 2 weeks after having been to this portfolio committee, and they did so. So I want us to appreciate that, because when Parliament says do something, don't think that you have a choice to do and not to do. So, we really thank you. We clap hands for you. Thanks. You can continue.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. As I was saying then, also a gratitude to the Minister, the Deputy Minister, and the supporting staff from the Department of Small Business Development. With the presentation in front of us, Chairperson, it outlines the request of the Portfolio Committee just to give a synopsis of what the membership of the National Cooperative Association, National Cooperative Association of South Africa, representation, and specifically it has to outline the work that is being undertaken as per the report. So I'm going to take the committee briefly to the work as it outlined here to say that in terms of the membership of NGASA, I'll start with the work that's one of the members of NGASA being the South African Housing and Property Tertiary Cooperative, SAHCA in short, and what is it doing around the country through its organized provincial secondaries. As we all know, that the work of in terms of the structures and the provisions of the Cooperative Act is that the secondary's main job is to provide management and project development on behalf of its primary members. So, in short, starting in Gauteng, where the Gauteng has a secondary cooperative in the registered body, and a member of SAHCA, we have a list of housing cooperatives there, and it also goes as far as providing the demographics and the representativity in terms of those kind of demographics in each and every primary cooperatives. In short, Chairperson, in Gauteng, you see that we seem to close about 17 or 18 primary cooperatives, and after that, there's a list of other types of tenants in terms of the sectional title schemes who having has attended the sessions that the secondary cooperative in Gauteng always have on a monthly basis. They've taken the resolution to convert the existing tenants to housing cooperatives. So I'm going to touch base on those ones that are very, very important, because there's a lot of them to take time. If you look on top, Chairperson, there's a cooperative called Bambanani Housing Cooperative. It's a sad story, because this is a cooperative of employees who use their pension funds to collectively purchase an old hotel so that they can collectively own it as a cooperative. In their ignorance then, they appointed a consultant who will assist them with the transfer of the property. And unfortunately, the consultant had ulterior motives, whereby the consultant converted the cooperative to a company so that he can own the company. He owned an asset, and in the process, when the members start asking questions about the transfer, then he moved ahead and evicted all of them. And we're speaking about people where, I mean, if you use your pension fund or provident fund, most of these particular people were actually at the time of, reaching their age, where they're about to retire. Some of them are old, and in that particular process, as we speak right now, the owner has taken over ownership of the property. So one of the work of the Gauteng House Secondary Cooperative is to find a way of reversing that after hearing the story being told by the members of Bambanani. So that is one part. Then the other part is the issue of Castle Blaine, which is at the moment is still under the contestation of the City of Property, because some officials of the City of Johannesburg connived with one another and sold Castle Blaine Housing Cooperative to a Kenyan national who is not even in South Africa as we speak. Because upon our own investigation, we also discovered that he was wanted by Interpol for drug trafficking somewhere in Romania. So, but he has somehow managed to purchase the particular property. We raised this particular matter with the official of the City of Johannesburg, and then this is the third year that they've been saying that it's a to and fro situation because some of the senior officials of the city are implicated. And as a result, they keep on saying that they'll reverse the process, but it doesn't happen as we speak. Around Gauteng, last but not least, Chairperson, what is very important is one particular cooperative called Terrace Road Housing Cooperative. In the past administration, the Portfolio Committee of Human Settlement gave us a responsibility to pilot the first student housing cooperative in the country. And we then acquired land just in the periphery of Bedrams next to Ellis Park. And in that particular land, it is a land that was donated by the Department of Human Settlement. And then the land remained undeveloped. And then we decided to say that as a secondary, we'll assist the primary cooperative to pilot that particular project as a first student housing cooperative. Because we wanted to demonstrate that how a student housing cooperative works in South Africa is that, one, we know that students and accommodation demand is high, but most importantly, for those that can afford, the student accommodation itself is very expensive. So then the portfolio committee gave us that part of responsibility to actually pilot this project so that it can then be unrolled throughout the country. But then, unfortunately, Chairperson, it's sad to report that we are now in a serious tussle because there's one company called Johannesburg Housing Company who claims that they own the land. Now, the question is that why would a company own a cooperative? Because the title says housing cooperative. And we know the history. Unfortunately, they thought that we don't know the history. Apparently, is that one of the companies that existed before us, it was called Cooper Housing Association. It was given the responsibility of managing some of the housing cooperative projects. When they went into voluntary liquidation, behind the closed doors, they decided to donate the land of a cooperative to a company. And then we picked this one up, and in the process, they quickly ran to court and threatened CIPC to register themselves as the directors of that particular cooperative, which is Terrace Road. We are in the process of engaging the CIPC, because we said that, look, in terms of the Act, unfortunately, this particular company did not know that how the cooperative works, is that in a cooperative, you don't become a director forever. And as a result, rather to go to court and contest that, he simply said, let us have an AGM, because they registered themselves in 2008, and the constitution of the Terrace Road says that a director must be there for 4 years. So members have an AGM, they elected the new directors, but the company now still insists that they are the directors and they're threatening CIPC. So in that process, then I asked CIPC to seek legal advice, so that then the legal advice can advise them properly to say that particular order now, it becomes dysfunctional because an order can be enforceable or it cannot be enforceable in terms of the legislation of cooperatives. So that is what is important, and this particular matter is already brought to the attention of the Premier of Gauteng, because it's the province that donated the land to a cooperative, and the title distance. So the unfortunate part is that the entity of the City of Johannesburg called the Johannesburg Property Company, they are standing together with Johannesburg Housing Company and say, no, the land belongs to a company, even though the land, the title deed says, is a land of a cooperative. Then we had a number of properties that belong to the cooperative, but unfortunately, due to some unfortunate incidents within the city of Johannesburg, the officials have connived with some of the foreign nationals, and those particular properties, as we speak right now, they were owned by a cooperative, but now they're owned by foreign nationals, and some of the members of cooperative were actually evicted by those guys out of this property. It's a long history of a battle that we intend to undertake as a secondary in this case, assisted by the tertiary, being second disregard. Then I'm going to quickly move to other provinces, Chairperson, because I still have to cover other sectors. And then in the Western Cape, we've got about a project that are going on for 500 members, if you see on the report. But then I want to bring the attention of the committee to one particular cooperative. It's called the Rainbow Housing Cooperative. This is a group of domestic workers that came together saving money. Under the sector leader in the Western Cape, Jefferson. Yeah, there's a cooperative called Rainbow Housing. It's actually called Rainbow Housing Women's Cooperative. They are in the site of Sea Point. It's a group of domestic workers. It's about 45 domestic workers who are collectively saving money. And initially, there's a particular building that they have made a deposit on with intention to buy. That was about 10 years ago. And as and when they were about to conclude the purchase of the agreement, some of the clever guys in that area who are developers managed to pull the mat under their feet. And then unfortunately the property, because it is said to be in the prime area, obviously facing the ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, then they've lost that particular part and the property was taken by a private developer. So as we speak right now, unfortunately the Western Cape Agricultural Cooperative has been just recently established in about two years ago. And this is one of the responsibilities that the secondary now will have to undertake to find out exactly what happened. So that they can assist this group of domestic ladies who have worked so intensely over the years saving money to buy the particular property. So that if there's any wrongdoing that has happened, then they can follow that one up. Fast tracking, Chairperson, okay, Free State is still doing well. They've got cooperatives that have started doing the work. The Free State government is giving them work to build some of their RTP houses. Now, moving to KZN, Chairperson, there's a cooperative called it's also a women's cooperative. Unfortunately, women, it looks like they're unfortunately, they are the ones that tend to be abused in this case. The 12 women's housing cooperatives in New Germany in KZN, just in the periphery of Devon. They have purchased this piece of land about 10 to 15 years ago. By then, in terms of the development, it seems like a lot of developers were not aware that in the long run, this particular will be one of the most sought-after piece of land. They purchased this piece of land, and then they were struggling to get assistance in terms of the development of the land. And then in the process, then unfortunately, one of the previous councillors started selling their land pieces by pieces. And in those particular pieces of land, there were shopping malls that had been built, so they still have a little bit of piece of land that is left for development. So, unfortunately, at the moment, we still do not have a fully-fledged secondary cooperative in KZN that can undertake this particular work, so it remains the work of the tertiary to assist them in this matter, to find out how a councillor who was not a member of cooperative managed to sell the land that belongs to a cooperative, and how was the land sectionalized to such an extent that the land can be sold piece by pieces. And also to assist, it's called Kluwerf Women's Housing Cooperative. Yes, it's New Germany in the Tegwin. So that is one of the work that the SACA now as a national body will have to find out how they can assist this particular cooperative, Chairperson. Now, there's still an issue that is outstanding in Northwest, where there was evictions of in some of the members of the cooperative in the Northwest, where upon the intervention of SACA, because the secondary was still in the process of being established, we have to find a way of a recourse to make sure that the members of cooperative continue owning their assets. Because what happened, these are the assets of the previous Botswana government, where the civil servants were given the opportunity to be housed there. But there was a company that was given the responsibility called the Northwest Housing Corporation. Upon members coming together to wanting to own collectively these kind of properties, they immediately move on to start evicting members so that they can sell the assets to primary to the private companies. And then we unfortunately had to intervene when some of the members already been evicted out of the property. And one of the units there, it was obviously what we had thought that would be our first student housing cooperative in the Northwest, called Khatolo Student Housing Heights. So at a moment in the Northwest, we've got the mammoth task of trying to reverse about 8 properties where people have been evicted, those housing cooperatives. We are left with Kihumulisi and Gahis Housing Cooperative in Northwest, in the periphery of Mafikeng. And then, moving forward, Chairperson, 2 or 3 weeks ago, we were called by our provincial coordinator in Limpopo to go and assist some of the about 3 primary cooperatives in that particular province. And I'm glad that the deputy chairperson, the deputy minister is here, because this was one of his commitments to assist this particular primary cooperatives, having seen the work that they were doing. And we had an opportunity to interact with them. And they were very much singing praises of the deputy minister while he was still the premier of the commitment. Unfortunately, that commitment has fallen off. The officials are not assisting in any matter, for that matter. So as a result, then, we have to find a way to say how we'll be able to assist. So one of the first things is to engage some of the officials in the province who have taken the responsibility, so that we can elevate that particular request for assistance to the Department of Human Settlement nationally, so that it can then talk to the provincial departments in terms of assistance. Ours it will be then to make sure that they continue with the issue of capacity building, so that in the long run they continue to, I mean, they're building beautiful houses, Chairperson. Fortunately, you were once there, you saw what they did. And then it comes... So it is we have to make that particular commitment to continue to assist this particular cooperative, Chair. And then in the Eastern Cape, we've just completed 420 houses in a cooperative in the Volma area. And then we have started in the East London, where there's a huge interest. I mean, in 2 weeks' time, I have to go and address about 2,000 members who are interested now, having seen what happened in PE. And through the provincial structure now, they in the East London want to go through and also establish their own. In one of the processes, there's one particular area called Amalinda, where we have to complete about 54 housing projects. One of the reasons why we couldn't do it was a dispute that took place about 10 to 15 years ago between our provincial structure and the Department of Human Settlement. Because then the department felt that as a cooperative, or maybe misunderstood, that a cooperative provides free houses. Officially, a cooperative is about people coming together, setting their own tone so that in eventual they build a house. So the department then wanted to force some of the people who are not the members of cooperative down the cooperative so that they can be accommodated. And when the cooperative said that, but unfortunately we cannot do so because we already have our own existing members, then the department felt that they will withdraw the top-up fund that was given to cooperative. Somehow, we continued, and then the Portfolio Committee of Human Settlement gave us a mandate to complete that particular project. And with the new administration, at least now Buffalo City Municipality is willing to work with us on that one. So that is one of the work that we are looking for, Chairperson. Outside of the housing sector now, we are getting into the consumer sector, whereby we'll just want to report what, in terms of the first one, one of the first work that is taking place in the Gauteng province, whereby there's a number of consumer cooperatives that are being established. The plan is to have a provincial consumer cooperative in about a year and a half from now. One of the realities is to take leave to what the how the spaza shop of foreign nationals are organized in this regard. And I like to make this announcement, Chairperson, is that there's one, a very young person who has developed an app. This particular app will assist spaza shops to buy collectively. So what happens is that with this particular app, every spaza shop will have in their phone a downloaded particular app. And when you place an order, that app And then in terms of what has been played, it collects all the product that have been, I mean, requested from different spaza shop, and then the suppliers then will know collectively to say that so many shops have requested 5 kg of mini meal, and then so many, so that in the long run, we as South Africans who are in the spaza shops, then we begin to use their collective power to buy exactly so that they can become competitive with the foreign nationals. That's what's happening at the moment in the consumer sector, Chairperson. And then luckily, last week, we had a meeting. It was a seminar that was hosted by the Gauteng province, where we were also discussing the issue of the banking sector now. And where actually Gauteng province, working together with Treasury, they were now unbundling the entire sector of the financial sector to understand all the nitty-gritties and the requirements if one wants to get into the cooperative banking sector. And Chairperson, it was mind-boggling. There's a lot of things that probably I personally thought that it would be easy, just get two people and then there's a cooperative banking, it would be easy as that. Then when we start dealing with issues of payment systems, we're dealing with issues of registration, requirement by NCR, requirement by, it's too cumbersome, and we also requested that probably this particular workshop should be done at a national basis so that it's taken from the province, because there's a lot of things that I myself didn't know, which is an eye-opener in this particular regard. So then I know that the minister has been driving hard on the issue of establishment of cooperative banks. She has been passionate about that, and it is very important that we engage and have some sort of a national colloquium or a national seminar on cooperative banking on its own, so that we can also bring those particular presentations from different institutions that are in the financial sector. Last but not least, Chairperson, there's also other programs that we intend to undertake. I'm glad my friend is sitting here. He's driving the transport sector from NAXA side. But we're looking to say that let's rather have a dedicated sector on transport. We are very much aware of some of the work that the Chairperson was doing to try and bring transport cooperatives around the country to start working in one language, because we realize that there's a huge potential when all those cooperatives in the transport sector work with one another. There are possibilities of, tire manufacturing, possibility of petrol stations and things. It's massive. That's where when we talk about the transformative economy, we'll be exactly seeing in practical happening. The good thing is that we do have existing primary cooperatives in the transport sector, starting from your meter taxis to buses and the like. And it's very important, I'm glad that you're already here because you're driving some of the provinces already. So working with other primary cooperatives to set up a national structure, it will bring that particular strong a muscle and a big role that cooperatives can play in this particular sector, which is a massive sector. And also we had a level of engagement in the tourism sector with the South Kenya Tourism Board to look at cooperatives who are in that particular sector to begin to organize them, because I'm aware, I think in 2015 in the Cooperative Day celebration that we had in Limpopo, we were actually hosted by a cooperative that is in the hospitality industry. They had a conference facility, and that began to become an eye-opener with some of the cooperatives in that particular sector. I remember two in the Free State also saying that we are here, we are not aware of other cooperatives in the tourism sector that we can talk to one another so that we have a unified voice. So my engagement with the DG and of tourism and the CEO of the South Kent Tourism Board was to say that how we begin to coordinate our work to make sure that we build this particular tourism sector. So they are yet to make a clear commitment on that particular issue. And I was hoping that probably DSBD can assist us in that particular regard. And then also we've got a coordinator in the mining sector. We are very much aware that not long ago that the Minister of Minerals gave some of the cooperatives in the Northern Cape the right to mining the old and disused mines. And we've given the responsibility to our mining coordinator to start working and assisting those partners so that with the issue of registration, capacity building, and also playing an active role in the mining industry, they have to come they can play that role very clearly. And two days before, we were having a meeting at a network level where we were having an opportunity of presentation by the Minister of Energy together with the Minister of Public Enterprise, and we're talking about the issues of ESCOM and the responsibility and the opportunities that exist in the energy sector. So I also had an opportunity to talk to the DG in the Department of Energy to say, are you aware of the roles that cooperatives can play in the energy sector? Specifically, they are globally. I mean, you look at countries like United States of America. In the rural areas, energy is produced by cooperatives. You go to Germany, you go to Italy, energy in the rural areas is produced by cooperatives. And as a result, energy becomes very affordable. Because at the moment, you are looking at a situation in South Africa where energy is produced by ESCOM, and whatever that ESCOM says, we want an increase, it goes back to the communities, and in the long run, they cannot afford because energy and electricity become more and more expensive every time. So he has committed to say that, okay, it's an eye-opener. Probably, I also recommend that maybe you also have to make a site visit to go and see this thing physically when they happen. Because, unfortunately, with due respect, it seems like government only believe something when they see happening in other countries. So I've asked him to do so that when you come back, then we can sit together and see how we begin then to organize cooperatives, specifically in this case, in the rural areas. That's where then we think that the sector can thrive on. There's also the opportunity that is there with public works around the ocean's economy. Luckily, we had an opportunity to talk to the head of real estate, whereby as in the housing sector, we were requested to look at the possibility of the rehabilitation of the harbors. Because at the moment, so that then with the rehabilitation of the harbors, then the issue of ocean's economy and cooperative involvement there can become even much more viable, because we've got cooperatives in the fishing industry. I mean, you go to here in the Western Cape, in places like your Hermanus, where we went, and there's another town just not far from us, about 5 kilometers from Hermanus, where there's a lot of fishing cooperatives. And going along the route to as far as Jeffreys Bay, we do have a lot of fishing cooperatives who then can play a very important role in this particular ocean's economy. So the SACA in this case is busy engaging the Department of Public Works to look at the role that the corporates can play in the ocean's economy. From there, Chairperson, other issues, unfortunately, because of that I'm trying to push. The issue of ICT sector, Chairperson. Sorry about that. We are living in the fourth industrial revolution. This is a reality. And it seems like we haven't yet realized the importance of ICT in this phase that we are in at the moment. And yes, I'm very aware that we've got few cooperatives, but not to the level that we will be happy given the global progress that we find ourselves in at the moment. So we have then given one of our coordinators to begin to coordinate the issue of ICT sector, working together with the department to see to that we can begin to specifically again look in the rural areas where, you know, it's still foreign to get an internet cafe, or even not aware that a lot of people, they have cell phones in their head and they can utilize their cell phones just to access information. With the world of apps that we're facing ourselves into, it will then become viable to teach the members of cooperatives in the rural areas to how to utilize their phone to access this particular app that will assist them with information, and also to get into the world of business in the long run. And then, Chairperson, late last year in November, we had an opportunity to attend a conference that was hosted by the Department of Communications, also to look at the bottlenecks that exist. Specifically, we were concentrating on the print media, whereby in that particular instance, some of the problems that we faced to say that, look, there's a huge competition between your local newspapers and commercial newspapers. But the local newspapers are actually meant to talk to communities directly. And as a result, one of the resolutions that is very key in that particular conference is to establish cooperatives to be the one that drive this particular media. For a simple reason that it will be easier to drive the cooperative agenda using community newspapers, because that's where cooperatives actually are embedded. MDDA has committed into that, to drive that particular progress, and also my general manager, MDDA, was willing to say that then how will NCASA assist us to make sure that we formalize this particular sector? So it's something that also probably bringing DSBSD as a driver can begin to work together to make sure that we drive that information, that communication to the cooperative in the ruralist of all the rural areas. So, Chairperson, last but not least, I see that there's some of the things that I've got. What is important, Chairperson, is an issue we know, and we are very much aware that almost in the whole country, we get people who are saying that we are training on cooperatives. But then we have a problem. The agenda is not the same. The definition of cooperative for startups is not the same. And if we talk about different languages but talking about the same thing, it becomes a problem. And in the long run, it begins confusion in the cooperative movement. And in the long run, then we'll never see this particular sector thriving. So what is very important is to start, like we've seen, what is this particular country, where the movement working together with the department, we have to have dedicated and accredited training providers so that the language is the same. We are very much aware that not long ago the Department of Higher Education was tried to, you know, commission a study around the establishment of cooperative college, because it's some of the things that when we amended the Act from 2005 to 2013, we're talking about the cooperative college, so that in the long run we begin to structure this type of training so that we talk of the cooperative in South Africa talks about one language. As you are aware, probably there's this particular amendment of the National Skills Development Plan 3. That is, as we speak right now, is in the process. It's just been finalized at NEDLEC. It talks about college. It talks about community colleges. The reason why we say community colleges is because we found that when we say that cooperative college, we'll be talking about one, and then where will it be centered. Whereas if you talk about community college, that's where the cooperative training can actually be undertaken there. The syllabuses and everything that will be synchronized to talk about the same language for cooperative development in the country. So I'm glad and I'm happy to announce that at least it's in the NSDP3, and then once Parliament approves it, then it's the way to go, because then we'll begin to bridge this gap of people talking the same language but different agendas. So in the long run, then we'll be having a dedicated, what you normally say, a design cooperative system. So it is because of this that then we are going to support the National Cooperative Summit, because we believe that the National Cooperative Summit, it will draw a new, total new agenda for cooperatives. We are looking at a situation whereby we're also even going to move away from, you know, to be painted in the same brush with SMEs. Because if you look at the definition, it says small business and cooperatives. And in reality, we know that we do have massive cooperatives. We cannot be painted to a corner as smallanyana, and it simply means that cooperatives cannot move out of that. Take for an example in a situation whereby we've got cooperatives of about 2,000 members and are saving together. They cannot be classified as small business anymore. So as a result, we are going to design a brand new agenda for the cooperative development in the country, where we're talking about the new cooperative development system, where we're going to put all the systems in place so that each and everyone knows what happens. We are very much aware that at the moment, all the responsibility of cooperatives, yes, as a department, is with small business. And then that leads other departments to sit in their laurels and do nothing. So the plan with the system, one of the systems is to make sure that in each and every department, we have a cooperative expert in it. This is one of the reasons why if you look at our counterparts like in Kenya, where if you are working government and you're going to work cooperative, you must have been in a cooperative college, Minister. It's a requirement. It's not an option. So that you begin to understand the agenda of the cooperative. So unfortunately, what happens at the moment until the cooperative system is designed is that we're going to have everyone with the cooperatives having totally no idea what is a cooperative. So it's very important that we have to develop that particular system. And
I'm calling point of order on the chair because just jumping.
Cool down.
I am hearing a language of a cooperator.
Yeah.
not someone who is reading from who Googled and then forms a cooperative when that person has Googled. Here you can hear that this is a cooperator.
Let's
yeah, that's why I'm jumping.
All right. Appreciated. So, now, one of the quick things that probably as a movement, the corporate movement, working with our counterparts, we are not going to leave them because, for an example, Sarako is a participant at NetLeg. And last year in October, there was the commitment of what we call the Presidential Job Summit. In this particular, one of the resolutions of the Presidential Job Summit is to see the role that cooperatives can play. And that is a field, that's what they can drive in this particular regard. Sector by sector, specifically looking mainly in the manufacturing sector, because we've got a lot of cooperatives in the manufacturing sector. So those are some of the low-level fields that whereby cooperatives in that particular sector can actually use that particular part of the resolutions and the money that are committed there to develop this particular sector. That is very important. Last week we had a meeting with the Oxfam to commission a study on recycling cooperatives. This is one of the biggest sectors that one does not understand how massive it is, let alone the issue of management of land, field size, and recycling of the recyclable goods, but also in terms of job creation. I'll give you a simple example that there's one particular cooperative in Johannesburg. It's called Batupila Housing Cooperative. It started when I met the ministry. There were only members, about 8 members, but with assistance that we managed to provide them, we are sitting with about 250 members. And what happened is that one of the things that one of the programs that we've engaged them on is that one, instead of just seeing your normal people that are dragging trolleys on the street, we have to start formalizing it so that they get into the commercial space. And how do they do it? That one, we have to change their trolleys, paint them green, so that then they create that vibey environment in it. And those particular trolleys, it's also the plan is to use them as a marketing tool. How this does it become a marketing tool is that there's going to be an advertising space on the trolleys. Remember, as and when they collect the recyclables, they go all around the inner city. So one is an issue of branding so that someone sees something, the trolleys, the color, the greenish part, but also there's a marketing space on the same trolleys. And in that pilot process, we managed to get the buy-in of Old Mutual and what is this energy drink? The one that gives you wings. Thank you, Red Bull. There's commitment already for advertising on that particular space for those members. So imagine 200 members walking around in full uniform, dragging trolleys in an advertising space. That space creates money for the cooperative. They have a space, and in that particular space they already have, the Department of Gauteng, Department of Agriculture Gauteng has assisted them to get a Bailey machine. And when you get there, some of the things, it's a pity that we're coming to an end of our administration, but beyond that, actually the ministry to visit that particular cooperative and see how busy that cooperative is. How busy it is, that particular cooperative. They are responsible for the entire operations of an agent of the city of Johannesburg being picked up in this case. The sorting, the measuring of the recyclables, taking them to the companies, your name pack and all them, the operation is massive. So that's what we want to see. This cooperative starting is small but growing. And to a magnitude where it is at the moment. And lastly, because they already have an existing place where they're operating, I was talking to them to have a recycling type of a training academy. Because these particular people, they need to know beyond just sorting and recycling, what else do you do in terms of processing these particular recyclable materials? So that's what is important at the moment. And lastly, in terms of housing, some of the good stories now to tell is that finally the city of Joburg has considered on a 30% set aside, because I think you are aware on the newspapers that the city of Johannesburg is in the process of rehabilitating all these particular old buildings. So there's a commitment of 30% set aside to cooperatives in this regard. So the Gauteng Secondary Cooperative will be driving that process of rehabilitation of the cities for the cooperative for this particular member. So it will be mainly for the cooperatives. Finally, the Social Housing Regulatory Authority also have finally accepted that cooperatives can play a role in the social housing sector. Because all along they were trying to become very difficult to say, no, it's only rental, it cannot be a cooperative. Until we said, but then you need to understand, because we are part and parcel of this particular policy, and as cooperative we are not going to give up easily on that. So finally now there's commissioner research to say that how then cooperatives can play a comprehensive role in the social housing provision sector. And then also some of the challenges, Chairperson, specifically in the housing sector, now that we're going to have a cooperative tribunal, we also have a piece of legislation that this, that says cooperatives in terms of disputes, it can be also lodged with the communities. It's called CSOS, Community Scheme Ombuds Service. So we have to find a way whereby then DSPD and Human Settlement have to come to an agreement to say that in terms of dispute, where shall cooperatives lodge their disputes? So those are some things that are very important that we need to look into. Lastly, Chairperson, and also there's a program that SACA has now begin to undertake. It's called the Rural Loan, the Rural Shopping Malls. We are driving it together with the Department of Rural Development and other affairs, because we were mindful of the fact that in the rural areas, people spent 25% of their salary, of their grants, to go to town to buy groceries. So whereas a shopping mall is also, is only established by the term of the density of the population in a particular area. So the plan is to identify the highly densified area so that we can have what's called rural shopping malls. In this particular rural shopping malls, we are bringing both private businesses and this particular shopping malls, there's going to be a cooperative ownership of the community. We're also going to bring the traditional authority because they are the custodian of the land in this particular regard. So Department of Rural Development is busy coordinating that so that in the long run then we can begin to unroll the program. We are looking at, I know there's a request from one of the traditional chiefs in Pietermaritzburg to pilot that in his area. So once we start the piloting, we'll begin to invite some of the cooperators in this regard. And then in terms of private sector, we, in 2 weeks' time, we had the commitment of Old Mutual, who is willing to come on board to assist in housing cooperative space. Obviously, they are private sector. They are going to bring money expecting return. What is important is that they will assist us to understand when we do a housing project. Obviously, members save and government or department members can bring a bridging finance, but because housing cooperative, it encompasses everyone, not only those that deem to be qualified for PNG. Then once we develop a housing project, there's going to also be a request for extra funding from the private sector. So Old Mutual has committed to say in their next cycle of 5 years, they'll be looking at funding housing cooperative projects, so which is very good. And in the process then, we have begun to engage technical resource organizations from different countries, our counterparts in Zambia, Kenya, Nigeria, Canada, and Norway, so that we begin to build because these are also countries, specifically Kenya and Nigeria, they're also getting into the space of cooperative home ownership. The unfortunate part, I don't know whether it's fortunate or unfortunate, they learned the model in South Africa. But because of political buy-in and political support in their countries, they're enrolling this in massive numbers. So under that, probably we need now to learn, because we gave them a concept, they're implementing it now, we're going to learn how their respective government implemented it. The same thing goes for the Zambian counterparts who I met some in early February, who also want to get into this particular space of housing cooperatives. So the long and short of it, Chairperson, with much of the time, is that these are some of the things that the movement is doing at the moment right now. So I think I'd like to pause there, Chairperson and committee. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Before I take my questions, on recycling, Google